prepare yourselves for Ethan and Aaron's Confessions of a Movie Snob, the ongoing discussion of film genres.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Aaron, that's Ethan, and we got McGee with us again. Say hello, gentlemen.
Hello, gentlemen.
Oh, good Lord.
Good evening, sirs.
See, at least he is like, varying, what's the word I'm looking for? Deviating from the script. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, we're going to do a podcast tonight, and this one's a long time coming.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's just going to kind of fall with April Fool's Day and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But we're going to do something that I said a long time ago we are never, ever, ever, ever going to do. No, it's not Star Wars, but it's in the same vein. It is going to be movies that suck. So this is going to be a list of our top 10 movies that we hate.
Happy April Fool's Day.
April Fool's Day. You get up finally, well, I mean, if you even listen to us, you get to listen to us really hate on stuff.
Yes.
Really, really, really hate on stuff.
Yes, we decided we wanted to get all of our hate out in a macrocosm right now.
Yeah.
And then we'll be hate-free for a while.
Yeah, this is good. Yeah, this is going to be a podcast hate crime, and I like it. It's good stuff. But
I am both a carton of hate and a wedge of spite tonight.
Awesome.
Yes. And as you might be aware, you can hear we have Christopher back with us.
I already said that.
Did you?
Yes.
I don't listen to you.
At the beginning, I said it's Ethan and McGee. And yes. Well, for Ethan's sake, why don't you say hello?
should I leave and come back?
No, it's all right.
Yes.
But we're going to have a good time talking about stuff that we hate, because boy, do we hate some stuff out there. Before we get into any of that, we have a little segment that we like to call Geekly Happenings, news relevant to us geeks. Ethan, what's happened in the news this week?
Variety is reporting that Kenneth Branagh has signed to direct the new Jack Ryan movie.
I saw that they were going for him. I didn't see that he actually signed.
Yeah, that's what I saw too. But today, Variety is reporting that he has signed on. So,
neat.
I forget who was the director that left last week, but
he's going to be directing Chris Pine, right?
He will be directing Chris Pine as the Tom Clancy character. This will be a complete reboot of the series, according to the producer, Mace Neufeld. He said, "We pick him up when he's on Wall Street," he said, "but Jack Ryan movies have never been action films. They're kind of a thinking man's thrillers. Jack is referred to as a water walker because of his ability to jump ahead to conclusions. That's very big in all of the Jack Ryan films, and that's how we want to portray him. He's a teacher, he's a historian, he's a linguist, he's really smart." So apparently this is going to be a reboot of the series with Chris Pine as Jack Ryan, so and with Branagh on it, I'm kind of interested at least now.
So when he said they were thinking man's films, is there like a little asterisk there, and then it comes down to except the Ben Affleck one?
Yes, except for Some of All Fears. That was not a thinking man's.
Right.
I never watched that one.
No, it's not good.
I didn't imagine it was.
No.
So.
And Morgan fucking Freeman's in it, though.
That does not mean much. Yeah. I mean, he's in some
he's
Dogs.
He's done some bad, Chain Reaction.
Oof, yeah. Yeah, he was not good.
I shot some home movies once, and Morgan Freeman showed up.
did he narrate
them? Yes, he narrated them.
Yes, he did.
Awesome.
It's what he does now. It's awesome.
Very good. What else do we got?
Chloe Moretz is still getting some work since her. Obviously, she did Kick Ass, and then she did. She was in Hugo and
Let the Right One In.
Yeah, Let the Right One In, or
Let Me In, whichever one was
the American
one.
Version. Yeah, she's confirmed now, apparently via her Twitter feed, that she's going to play the title role of Carrie White in Kim Pierce's upcoming remake of the Stephen King novel Carrie. How old is she now?
She's a teenager. Right?
I guess she might be the right age for it.
Wow.
I got nothing.
Sissy Spacek was like 75 when she played her in the original one.
That is true.
So, I mean...
Carrie had it was theatrical. There was Carrie 2,
The Rage.
The Rage, yes. I remember
blew.
That came out. God,
it
that was
blew.
Awful. And then apparently there was like a TV movie like that. So
I really like the Brian De Palma one. I mean, it's a classic. It's
I don't think I've ever seen
damn
it.
Damn good movie. So. Damn good movie. Depressing. It's a good. I don't like Stephen King for the most part, and I like that one, and I like his book.
Okay.
So it's good stuff.
And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles...
Ninja Turtles?
Yes, the Ninja Turtles thing goes on. Apparently, the Paramount Pictures has renamed the film just Ninja Turtles.
Naturally.
Producer Michael Bay posted a second statement about the TMNT movie that will be titled Ninja Turtles. He said, quote, Paramount Marketing changed the name. They made the title simple. The characters you all remember are exactly the same, and yes, they still act like teenagers. Everything you remember, why you like the characters is in the movie. The script is being developed by two very smart writers with one of the original creators of Ninja Turtles. They are very much about making this film for the fans. Everyone on this team cares about the fans. Just give them a chance. Jonathan, the director, is a major fan of the whole franchise. He's not going to let you down.
Jonathan Liebsman?
Yeah. The guy who just directed Wrath of the Titans.
How many different ways can I say I don't care? I
don't know how many.
I just don't care about this. I would, if I didn't pay as much attention as I do, and I don't want to, I would be really surprised that people care as much about this as
they
do.
This movie strikes me as, because they've already got a release date for it, I think Christmas 2013 or something, they've already got a release date set for it. It's one of those situations where they're making a release date, not a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to lie, I'll probably see the movie, but...
I probably won't.
You know, we'll see what happens with it, I guess.
I mean... But at the same... I mean, and I'm not going to say that I wasn't fond of Ninja Turtles as a kid, because I was, but... I just don't get the venom. Don't fucking watch it.
Well, like I said last week, it sort of gets me. People who love the original cartoon are going, "Oh, you're castrating the you're sodomizing the original series." I'm like, okay, guys, the original cartoon
was
pretty much did that to
the comic
books anyway.
So
you know, forgive my mood this evening, but if people had been as excited about doing something about the Rwandan genocide as they were about Michael Bay reinventing the Turtles, this planet would be a lot better place.
It would be.
This is not the world we live in.
Or, you know, the budget for the Ninja Turtles. I wonder how far that could go.
Like, I still think they should call The Dark Knight Rises, Shadow of the Bat or something, but I understand why they're calling it Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
But
no. I think they should call it Gotham.
No. Whatever they want, really.
I don't care. They're going to call it, you know, Batman fill in the blank.
Yes.
Batman give me
your
money.
Dark Knight Rises, they just want to tie it to Dark Knight.
I know.
Made a bazillion dollars.
Yeah, made a lot of money.
Imagine Entertainment is planning to remake 1984, or do a new, at least
the
a
year?
New version. Yes, the whole year.
Wow, how about that?
That's gonna be a lot of film.
Yeah, it is.
The studio is planning a big screen remake of the George Orwell's 1984. There's nothing else beyond that. They don't have a director, don't have a writer, don't have any cast, anything.
So this
they're
is
planning
a, this is a theoretical right now.
Yes.
No, wait a second. Let me reach my pocket here. Okay. I got $10 that says they missed the point of the book entirely.
Probably.
I'm not going to make that bet.
It'll be an action thriller, sure.
They'll probably
hear this? That's me putting the money on the table right there. I got my tenner on the table.
Yeah, just email Christopher because I'm not making that bet.
Who do you think needs to direct it? Let's see. Uwe Boll.
Sure.
1984.
Steven Soderbergh could do it well.
He could, but they won't get him.
No, they're going to get...
Yeah. Not Alexander Proyas.
No, not Mix. Yeah, he just quit the Paradise Lost abortion.
There you go.
So,
and they're going to butcher that one,
too. Yeah, you guys are missing the obvious. Michael Bay.
Justin
Lin.
I was actually
everything.
Thinking Justin Lin, yeah, because he's directing everything.
But can't you wait to hear Michael Bay explaining that, you know, this is going to be something all the fans are going to enjoy, and that he's talking to somebody who used to know
and
George
gonna,
Orwell,
and
he thinks
gonna,
it's really cool, all the changes he's making?
And they're just going to retitle it 84.
Yeah. It'll be 2084. The century doesn't matter. It's the prefix. Yeah, or the
postfix. I could actually justify that, because if you call something 1984, half the people who buy a ticket to that are going to be expecting, I bet there's going to be a lot of breakdancing in this.
Ghetto blasters and stonewashed jeans, yeah.
They're going to think it's a sequel to Hot Tub Time Machine or something.
I'm not sure that I knew that there was a 1984 movie.
Yeah, that was with Richard Burton,
wasn't
it?
Actually.
Yeah? I've read it.
There was one in 1984.
It's a good book. I liked the what's his fucking face? Ridley Scott Macintosh commercial based off of 1984.
Yeah, there was that.
That was pretty cool. But,
well, let me break everybody's heart. Supposedly the greatest adaptation of that was a BBC television version that had Peter Cushing as Winston Smith, and it's one of those tapes that the BBC archives wiped.
I was going to say, I'm about ready to jump on to some... Torrance, that sucks. That would have been awesome.
bastards. Yeah. Them and their wiping and stuff.
Damn them. Well, that sucks, but...
And the last thing I got might be the thing you've got. It's a bully.
No. But that's a good thing to talk about. Yeah.
The Weinstein Company has announced that due to their ongoing conflict with the MPAA over the film's rating, the documentary Bully will be released in theaters on March 30th as unrated, which is kind of a big deal. We'll see how many theaters actually pick it up then. I think
this is awesome, honestly. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's cool. It's them saying, well, you know what? Fuck you.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. And I think the Weinstein Company has enough clout behind him that they can get this movie into theaters.
Well,
so.
Bob and Harvey do. The Weinstein Company doesn't. They're, what, 3 years old?
Well, yeah. But it's Bob and Harvey Weinstein. They've got the clout to get this done. So.
I think it's cool, though, you know? I mean, it might be stupid, but it's kind of an integrity move because, you know, the MPAA wouldn't give it anything less than an R, so they're like, fuck you, give us something worse than an R.
Yeah, and
that's cool, though. Go ahead.
If I can share a bit of wisdom that isn't mine.
Okay.
I'm blessed to be Facebook friends with the one and only national treasure, Larry Blumeyer, the genius behind The Lost Skeleton of Cadavera. And his latest Facebook status update was pointing out about how the MPAA, in its quote-unquote infinite wisdom, gave Hunger Games a PG-13, but Bully gets an R.
Yeah, I saw that.
Well, and I just finished watching, just a couple weeks back, that documentary on them, that this film is not yet rated.
Yeah.
Oh, great film.
Man, the MPAA is just fucked up and wrong. It's
arbitrary and unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't...
Oh, I wish it were unimportant.
Yeah.
Well, they are unimportant. Because, like, what was the average age? Like, 56 or something like that? And they were all... I don't remember, but it's been a while since I've seen it. But they were all people that really are not a snapshot of the American population.
Yeah, yeah, not at all, not at all. But and it's an amazing sort of broken system that they've got going in.
It means well.
I'd love to see it go the way of the comics code, honestly. But
yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, this could be I don't remember the names off the top of my head, but the Spider-Man comics where, you know, Jim Lee or Stan Lee said, you know, fuck you and just put it out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That could kind of be this in the MPAA history.
Yeah, that'd be
you
nice.
You know, to where it forces some sort of shakedown, but, you know.
That would be nice.
It would be nice.
But that's all news-wise. I mean, slow news week.
It is a slow news week. And the only other thing I got is just something that, you know, I just unintentionally keep bringing. It's more Star Wars news. I found this little article that says...
he was just in Kansas City last weekend.
Did you punch him in the face?
No, he was at Planet Comic Con.
Okay, but Jake Lloyd hates Star Wars, the young actor that played young Anakin Skywalker in Star Wars Episode 1. No matter how much you hate Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, there's a good chance Jake Lloyd hates it more. The actor who played Anakin Skywalker is now 22 and says The Phantom Menace made his life hell and convinced him to quit acting for good. Other children were really mean to me. They would make the sound of lightsabers every time they saw me. It was totally mad. And on top of that, there is more work than an 8-year-old boy could reasonably handle. My entire school life was a living hell. I had to do up to 60 interviews a day, he said. He wow. hasn't acted since The Phantom Menace. In fact, he hasn't watched the movie in more of a decade. When you have something like that, there's a lot of expectations for it to meet the standard of the public, and I don't think George Lucas did that. For me to go back and watch it now would be kind of creepy. Boo fucking hoo hoo hoo.
Yeah.
That's what I had to say about that. People were fucking mean to me when I was a kid, and I didn't have the benefit of being in a Star Wars movie. I had to spend hours and hours and hours a day in school and not do interviews.
And I will point out, he still tours around and does autographs. Mm-hmm. Like I said, he was at Planet Comic Con in Kansas City just this
weekend. He doesn't mind milking that teat, but he also doesn't mind talking that shit either.
Yeah.
I will say this in his defense. Now, that's obviously an incredibly whiny and petulant quote. I mean,
and he's also 22 years old.
There is that. And it shows an alarming detachment from real-life problems. But, you know, in fairness to him, you know, he was in a movie, and for that, you know, he's probably been given the full-blown George Zimmerman treatment for like the last 14 years of his life. He's probably had crazed Star Wars fans, you know, wanting to burn his house to the ground for like the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, I wouldn't rule out the amount of completely out of proportion abuse he's probably suffered during his life.
Do you know why that happened, though? Because he sucked. It's because Jake Lloyd sucked.
Well, look, he's eight. You know, I think you had to put this on George Lucas. You know, there's a limit to how much you can blame an eight-year-old.
And there's a limit to how much you can blame a director, too, though.
Not in George's case.
Well, we're not going to go there. But I don't have any other news. But that's just what I think. Obviously, he lived the life. I didn't. And it must have made his life hell, because he hasn't made a movie since then. But I also don't think that he's complaining that much, because he wouldn't go to these conventions, he wouldn't do all the video games, he wouldn't do all the signings, and I think, you know, this kind of maybe it's a little thingy that he's trying to get a little bit of ink on. I don't know, but I noticed that, and everybody thought it was funny, but at the same time, I do feel sorry for the kid, because when it comes down to it, he's a kid.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
So, do you have anything to add to anything, Christopher?
Oh, no. I'm still quite full of spite. I'm ready to go.
Still quite full of spite, I see.
Yes.
Well, stay tuned, and we are going to be right back where we're discussing the top 10 films that we hate.
Brockheimer, Schumacher, Michael Bay. They make movies that make you say, oh my god, that's bullshit, what the fuck? Their movies that will suck.
And we are back. As we have said before, time and time again, at least Ethan and I talked about it at great length back on episode 20 of the Red Phone Zone. Something that we didn't want to do with the show is we did not want to become your one-stop shop for movie hatred. There's plenty of places to find that on the internet. That's what film reviewers do, and the whole entire. We just wanted to tell you the stuff that we like and what we think is worthwhile.
And then go on occasional tangents about not liking things like Tree of Life. And,
yeah, there you go.
Moving on.
There you go. but this is not anything that, if you're listening to this, and I'm sure that you're well aware of the shows out there, like, you know, Nostalgia Critic, Linkara, anything like that, where people are just, you know, talk about everything that they hate. One of my favorite negative reviews is Roger Ebert's North review. And I have the good part right here, in which he stated, "I hated this movie. Hated this movie. Hated it. Hated every simpering, stupid, vacant, audience-insulting moment of it. Hated the sensibility that thought anyone would like it. Hated the implied insult to the audience." By its belief that anyone would be entertained by it. And that's given him a nice long run of books, you know, called I Hated This Movie. And so a lot of people do feel very, very strongly about movies and movies that they hated. I threw out some feelers on Facebook and Google Plus and Twitter and stuff like that, and I got lots of responses to movies that people hate. And it's kind of funny because I was telling Christopher before we did this show that I really regret how often I say, like, how difficult of a time I've had making a list, because I have never had a harder time making a list than I've made this list in the history and the entirety of the show. Because, yeah, it's really easy to come up with a list of 10 movies I don't like, but that's not what I want to do here. I want to come up with 10 movies that I hate, that I loathe, that I despise. And just because I wanted fucking Wookiees in Return of the Jedi instead of Ewoks, it doesn't mean that I hate that. I have to hate every single fucking thing about the movie, and there's not very many movies that do that. I've said it time and time and time and time again that, you know, most movies, 90-95% of movies, I nothing them. You know, it's very rare that I love or hate a movie, and so it was hard to come up with this list for me. So I really tried to get a sense of movies that I just really hate, and I tried to keep away from, obviously I could put Twilight or something like that in here, but
yeah,
I don't care about Twilight.
I tried to go after movies on here that were aimed at me as a consumer, as a moviegoer, and just,
or they're so bad they transcend all of that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Because, you know, I
could say on here Twilight or something, but honestly, I'm not in the target audience for that.
Well, my thing really about it is, you know, I could listen to an argument from a 14-year-old girl about why she doesn't hate Twilight, and it's probably legitimate. Granted, she's going to grow out of it, and I was already 14 at one point in my life, so I probably know more than that. But, you know, there is a place for that. But there are movies out there that I don't like the message of them. I don't like the way they are shot. I don't, you know, I'm not even necessarily looking at product here. I mean, because, you know, lots of movies are poorly acted or poorly directed or poorly written, and that doesn't do it for me. It just has to be like this incredible ball of suck. And, you know, that's why I had such a hard time coming up with this, because I took this list way more seriously than I probably needed to. But I think I did come up with a list of 10 absolutely detestable fucking movies. So, how did you build this, Ethan? Just pretty straightforward, I don't like it?
Well, no, because I wanted to put stuff on here that, one, that I hate enough to actually actively tell people don't go see this movie. Mm-hmm. And to the point of where it actually gets an emotional reaction out of me.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of movies out there, like, you know, Sucker Punch didn't make my list.
Me neither.
I mean, it's a terrible, god-awful movie, but, you know, if you like it, I don't fucking care.
But it was... yeah.
I guess these movies that if someone says, oh, I like that movie, I have to go, okay, why? Why? I mean, did I watch half the movie with my eyes closed? Were you tripping on mescaline at the time? I mean, things like that. And I'm like, really? You liked this horrible, awful affront to humanity, mm-hmm. type of thing? That's sort of where I approached the list.
I have very few of these, and like the reason why I disliked Sucker Punch was because it was devoid of anything human, mm-hmm. and I don't care about that. That is a quintessential nothing movie. Mm-hmm. It really has to take it in another direction to where it just overstates something or understates something to really get my ire.
Yeah, and, so. I suppose for me, for looking at my list, they have to have, for most part of these movies, or something, I have to have some sort of emotional investment in, mm-hmm. something that I like, and that somebody has taken and completely horribly mutilated beyond comprehension. Or it's just movies that really, there are two on here that are movies that are just went one direction where, you know, in the middle of the movie, you sort of realize they're going in this direction, and you go, don't go. Why the hell? Are you telling me that's the big... Really? Oh, fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, I can get around that in most movies, but sometimes it's so stupid that they do something like that I'm like, you think you're being clever, and it's just coming off as being...
unclever.
Dumb.
Yeah.
And that has happened in a couple movies on this list where it's like, oh, okay, who thought that was a good idea? I mean, we're talking, you know, like Wooden Planet and Alien 3 type of thing.
Yeah.
So... yeah, that's how I approach the list.
Christopher, how about you?
Well, you know, I'm like on the surface to be a very difficult list to do because, good Lord, I mean, how many films has Adam Sandler made? Couldn't we just fill up a whole list of that? You know, I mean,
most of his films are harmless.
Yeah, yeah.
You throw into a bowl guys like that, and mm-hmm. it seems like a list that would be impossible to edit. But what I did was I ramped up my standards a little bit, and I said, let's do some films that approach being a genuine evil. Okay, there's something genuinely evil about these films, and okay, I have to admit, I had to just for the sake of redundancy, I threw out stuff like Nazi propaganda films and things like that.
Like. But, yeah, like no Birth of a Nation or anything like that, yeah.
Well, you know, here's the thing. As jaw-droppingly awful as that film is, there's that elephant in the room that it created cinema as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, it's such a difficult film to talk about. But
yeah.
I can't say that it's completely without merit.
It's completely with merit. It's just unfortunately made in a time where a lot of people are... bad people, or society allowed them to be bad.
Yeah, it's just such an unbelievably horrid story.
But, yeah.
Oh,
I've watched that 5 or 6 times trying to figure it out. I mean, obviously I can follow it. I understand the linear storytelling. I get what's going on, but I was just trying to reconcile stuff in my head with it. But we're not talking about it. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. So I still wound up filling in a film. I still wound up with a couple of films that I put on there just because they annoyed me like a drill into my face. But, you know, I was able to fill up the list with films that I think are genuine moral affronts.
Uh-huh.
My list is still sort of in flux as the thing, too. I'm sort of like looking at it going,
mine's I mean, mine's pretty much the way that it always is. I got a 6, I got a 1, I got a 10. And the rest of it I'm just going to kind of react to the list as we go along. So, Ethan? What do you hate about movies?
What do I hate about movies?
Yeah.
Like in general? Or
sure. I'm trying to buy you time for you to do whatever it is you're doing.
No, I'm just just needing to find a
I will say this.
There you go.
That of my list, I also went and I cross-referenced it with Rotten Tomatoes to get the ratings, and my highest rate, I do not have a certified fresh movie on my list, and the highest rated one is 53%, which is just barely rotten, but most of mine are down in the single digits, so at least, you know, at least my taste is on par with most other people by that rationale, but we'll just have to see what happens.
Yeah, I really haven't looked at a lot of the. I mean, I'll punch it up on Rotten Tomatoes as we're going, but I think I've settled on what my number six is at this point.
So. Okay, well, what is your number six then, Ethan?
My number six. Now, this is sort of a weird. This is sort of an oddball one because I actually haven't seen the whole thing. I couldn't make it through the whole thing. All these others I have seen. This one has a 16% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's the 2004 Oliver Stone epic film Alexander.
Oh,
with
yeah. Actually, I turned that off too.
It was so dull, and
it wasn't even that. It was just it was a mess.
What gets me about it is how can you make a dull movie about Alexander the Great?
With Colin fucking Farrell.
Apparently, Oliver Stone tried hard enough to make it boring and homoerotic. And
you know, they could have just gotten him drunk and put Alexander the Great clothing on him and made a better fucking movie than this.
Yes. And the thing that strikes me about this movie is...
It's a goddamn mess.
It is a mess, and there's three different versions of it, none of which I want to ever see.
I'm just like,
no, there's no amount of editing, there's no lost footage, there's nothing that can resurrect this film. You made a boring movie about Alexander the Great, one of the greatest, you know, historical figures in ever, you know, in history. And you made it all about how close he can get with a man while talking to him. You know, that's the sort of the joke in this movie is you know, well, I'm going to get uncomfortably close to you and talk to you 2 inches, 6 centimeters away. And it's like, really? Come on.
I've seen gay porn less gay.
Yes.
I mean, God. It's so homoerotic.
And
I mean, wrestling isn't that bad.
I guess the reason this one ends up on my list is because it's that concept. It really is that concept of you've made a boring movie about Alexander the Great. You have to try to do that. You have to really... I want to just go, okay, Oliver Stone, not one of my favorite directors.
He's
I love
a good
Platoon.
Director, though.
I think Platoon is a great movie. I love Platoon. None of his other movies I've seen I've really liked. This one, especially. This
Did you
one,
see
I'm
W?
Like, W? No.
That was like a fucking aneurysm.
Okay. Well, was it better or worse than
so was W. I finished it.
Okay, well, there you go.
I bought it out of a bin at Walgreens for $4, and I didn't feel like ripping my guts out after I watched it.
And the movie is 2 hours and 55 minutes long, which feels like about, you know, I only made it through an hour and a half or 2 hours of it before I had to shut it.
255 days long.
It actually feels like, yes, 255 days of agonizing acting and agonizing story.
And fat old Val Kilmer.
Fat old Val. Really,
poor Val Kilmer.
Val, man, just retire, please.
Or fucking played your age, like that movie.
Yeah.
Or like, what was that weird noir movie that he just made with Robert Downey Jr.? That's being directed...
What is that movie called?
I liked him in that.
The Kiss Kiss Bang Bang?
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, I liked him in that. He was old.
That's actually a couple years old now. But
is it? He was... it's newer than Alexander.
Oh, yeah. Well, Alexander... So, yeah, there's my number... I mean, me being a fan of history and a fan of especially Roman history, Greek history, is... You have such an awesome story to tell with Alexander the Great. I mean, you have so many things you can touch upon.
It'd be like fucking up the Iliad. Oh, wait, they did that,
they
too.
They did that, too. And, you know, it sort of boggles my mind that some movies get made, and this is one of them, where I'm like, this is a sort of, for me, this is a movie that gets made because Oliver Stone is Oliver Stone.
Oh, absolutely.
Stone.
This could have been a really good movie with a different script.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it had all the components.
And a different director and actors. And
Oliver Stone is a good filmmaker. They just need to keep him out of the writing room.
Because, you know, Alexander killed JFK single-handedly overthrew the British Empire or something. I don't know.
It's like making a movie about September 11th with, like, you know, ignoring that whole pesky human element of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so 16% on Rotten Tomatoes is amusing.
I'm
amazing
it's that high.
It's awful. It's awful. So that's my number six is Alexander.
Christopher, what's your number six?
Well, hey, they're going to think we planned this in advance. But for me, number six is easily Oliver Stone's JFK.
Really?
Yes.
Ethan hates that movie, too.
I hate that movie, too. It's nine hours of back into the lab. I like JFK. I just remember a gag sequence out of that TV show, that animated series, The Critic.
Back into the left. 84% on Rotten Tomatoes. Okay, Jim. Is it Jim Mars? Is he the? No, it's what's the guy's name that he played?
Well, I'll be happy to speak about that.
He's crazy. But go ahead. I met that guy.
So why is this one of the most detestable, despicable films ever made? Let me count the ways. First of all, I think one of the most horrible things that you could possibly do in a movie is to take a genuinely vile human being and make them into a hero. I think that's wrong on so many levels. Mm-hmm. And Jim Garrison was a complete piece of human trash. He was rightfully ran out of office for being massively corrupt and destroying the lives of many, 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 many good people. And the fact that he tried to make one of the great tragedies of the 20th century and an excuse to satisfy his own ego and destroy, again, some innocent people, turning that man into a hero, well, let's just say that if there is an afterlife, I'm glad I'm not Oliver Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, this set such a horrible, horrible, horrible precedent. This proved that you could work out your own obsessions and political naivete and fondness for half-baked conspiracy theories, make a ton at the box office, and have the critics line up to fellatiate you as a reward for committing this crime against decency and what used to pass for at least some regard for the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, maybe when Oliver Stone makes his film about the misunderstood Joseph Stalin, maybe he will make a more offensive film than this. But frankly, I think him and everyone connected with this film are going to burn in hell, and they'll deserve it.
Okay.
I hated this movie. It was so boring. Oh my god! And I find the JFK stuff to be at least intriguing and interesting. And again, it being Oliver Stone, you want to go, how do you make a boring movie off of this subject material? Really?
My thing about it is, I think that Oswald shot JFK. Oswald alone. I think it's mostly like the Warren Commission says it is. Mm-hmm. I am not a conspiracy buff at all. I either don't have the imagination or I have too much imagination.
Oh, I find 99% of all conspiracy theories to be hysterical.
Oh, yeah. So. This one...
Well, here's a simple test. Anybody tells you that anything other than Oswald acted alone, ask them their opinions about the Freemasons and whether or not we landed on the moon.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly.
And lizard people.
I don't care that you don't like this. I mean, and that's way too condescending on my part. I don't care enough about this movie, really, to really take offense to you disliking as much as you do. I watch it and I think that Jim Garrison, is that his name? I didn't think he came across as a hero. I think he came across as a crazy moron, and I don't know. So, and I met this guy at a JFK conspiracy thing when I was
9 or 10. There you go.
That was when I was, you know, first starting to, like, yeah, fuck the government, I want anarchy, and when you're young and stupid. And
yes.
When I was 10, I knew this guy was full of shit. So that says something. That says something. So
well, okay, let's throw another level of evil to this film. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Lee Harvey Oswald was guilty of at least one attempted murder prior to him killing Kennedy. He killed a police officer, that's beyond dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And I think any reasonable person would argue that would know that this guy who got off on beating his pregnant wife murdered another human being. If he was the president and it was Kennedy and that means something extra to you, that's fine. This guy took a rifle and blew somebody's head off.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent that Oliver Stone is making a film that casts any doubt on this man's guilt, he's letting another genuine monster off the hook for a crime that he deserves far more than he got for.
Mm-hmm. Probably. And I don't remember it. Is he saying that Oswald didn't do it?
Well, if he's trying to cast any doubt on Oswald's sheer ruthlessness, sheer heartlessness in planning that executing it, he's exculpating him for this crime, and that's wrong.
I do remember them trying to paint him as something of a simpleton,
as a patsy. Yeah,
but yeah, and no, I think, you know, he's a piece of shit, and I'm glad he's dead. But I don't think that Gary Oldman should burn in hell for playing him, because I love Gary Oldman.
Well,
yeah. So
well, but you see, he made Dark Knight, and that washes away all his sins.
Really? Yes. Wow.
Yes.
Well, he's Gary Oldman. He's awesome.
Well, so did Maggie Gyllenhaal.
But, you know, I mean, she's so much better than Katie Holmes.
She is. She is. She really is. My number six is going to be short and sweet, because we have a whole bunch of video about me talking shit on it. It is the 2011 Your Highness, a truly despicable movie. I hate that fucking movie, and it's 26% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is way too high. I have no problem with gross-out comedies. I have no problem with stoner comedies. I have no problem with the high-octane Porky's kind of sex comedy. What I do have a problem with is fucking stupidity, and this movie comes from a place of complete fucking stupidity. The reason why this movie was made is, I don't remember his name, and I don't want to remember his name, but the lead guy in it, the guy that wrote it and the director, had this little funny game that they came up with, where they would come up with some nonsense term, like they would say, lamp on a table, and they would come up with some hugely weirdly concocted, you know, this is what the movie would be about, ha ha ha, and with Your Highness it'd be about a bunch of guys getting stoned to go kill a dragon, and they made that fucking movie, and I hated that movie. It's on our website. I got in a lot of trouble yelling about it on Bagged and Boardcast because I hated it so much. I despise that movie. That's what I have to say about it.
I saw a used copy of the Blu-ray for sale. Maybe I should get it for you.
Go ahead. I'll just throw it out the window.
No, I was going to get you a nice coaster.
That'll work, too.
It's a movie I had zero desire to see. So.
I only saw it for Bagged and Boardcast.
I bet Shay liked it.
I'm sure he did. I saw it for free, and it wasn't worth it.
And you
it.
Wanted your money back.
I wanted more than my money back.
I've seen several movies like that.
I wanted the budget back. It was just not good.
You wanted to sue the filmmakers so you can get your $5 back or your admission back, even though it was free?
Yes.
I want my time back.
I want my time back. I want... This is...
I want to take 1 hour or an hour and a half of your life away from
this. Yes, I do. It's... I don't know where to start. I mean, there's just so much...
I'll put you up to the machine from The Princess Bride.
Maybe. I mean, something like that. I don't know where to start with how much I hated this movie.
We get better movies made that way, I think.
Fuck yeah. You know, as soon as you make a bad movie, boom, you get your head blown off. Or, no, just suck a couple years off their life.
Like, oh, that's 1 year.
That movie was... I hated that fucking movie. Be it him killing the Minotaur and wearing his penis on his neck as a necklace for their whole movie. Be it the weird implications that James Franco's character was molested by this weird little alien wizard thing. Be it... the fact that it had talented fucking people in it, and it was just awful. I hated it.
And this is the short and sweet version of your
film?
Yes.
My review is like 20 minutes of me screaming about it.
Yep.
I hated this fucking movie. Ethan, what's your number five?
All right. Talking about directors that can do a good movie, and then they turn around and they put something out, and you go, what? They did it? Why? It's the 2009 Alex Proyas movie Knowing.
Really?
Yes.
I thought that was just a boring movie.
See, for me, this is one of those movies that sort of falls into the category of, this is the twist that you had for us through this whole thing.
34%?
Yes, 34%.
Wow.
This is the twist, and I'm going to spoil it for everyone in hopes that they not see this movie. It's the twist is it's space aliens. Yep. Yes, it is space aliens. Now, I'm fine with a good alien movie, but this movie sort of, you know, tries to think that it's clever in going that, oh, it's space aliens. It's about, you know, a third of the way through the movie, or about halfway through the movie, I found myself watching it just going, okay, if this is, if the big twist is space aliens, that's really stupid. And it's space aliens! Oh, for the love of God. Alex Proyas, of course, has done some decent film. I mean, I at
he hasn't
least
done that many.
Well, he did the Crow. Which,
he did the Crow, which, and he did Dark City.
Dark City is awesome. Yeah. And then he also did iRobot, which is at least entertaining.
It is what it is. Yeah.
But then one of the reasons I was so annoyed with this is the reason I went to see it was because Alex Proyas directed it. I was like, okay, Alex Proyas generally does good stuff, so I'm gonna go see this. And Nick Cage just, you know, shines in his awfulness in it.
He Nick Cages it up. A 50% audience rating? Wow!
And it is absolutely awful. It's one of those movies that the concept of it was at least, interesting. And there was something there that was like, okay, this could have been very good, but then they just half-assed it into just awfulness. And there's it's one of those where you start to take it apart and it just doesn't work, because at the end of the movie there's a select few, including this guy's kid, who is seeing all these numbers and figuring out all of these horrible disasters and all that. Aliens take them away to another planet and drop them off.
Yep.
So it's like, okay, thanks. Wait. We don't have any food or survival skills. We are so boned at this point. This is a big practical trick. It's like, meanwhile, up in orbit, those aliens are like, suckers. And this is their version of cow tipping. It's like, we're going to go abduct people and drop them off on a random planet. It'll be great. And so, yeah, knowing it's one of those movies that thinks it's clever, is not, is awful. I hated it. There you go.
Okay, I mean, everything you said is right. I just didn't care about it, but good. I'm glad you hated it. There needs to be more hate in this world. Christopher, what's your number five?
All right, well now, okay, I have to put a qualification on this ranking, first of all.
Okay.
Because, judged on its own merits, JFK is actually a worse film than this. But you see, I wanted this film to be sort of the representative one for a horrible, horrible body of work. And I think as a body of work, this person's catalog even exceeds the evil of JFK. And so, standing in for every film that Adam Sandler has ever made, I picked his absolute worst film of all. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry.
Huh.
And let me tell you why Let me tell you why I think this is the worst of it all. Okay, first of all, Kevin James. Okay, second reason. You're trivializing one of the most vital social issues of today. I frankly don't care whether a person is for gay marriage or against it in terms of discussing this film, but the fact that you're going to trivialize that issue, it's almost as if you're trying to get a film out of, uh-oh, she's gonna have an abortion! There's just some things that just
it's about gay marriage, right?
Just aren't funny regardless of how you feel about it. And by trying to trivialize it, by making it funny, you're just making an asshole out of yourself. And secondly, it is theoretically possible that you could make a funny film that has gay marriage in it. But what does Adam Sandler do? Does he go classy? Does he try to say something? Well, I forgot we're talking about Adam Sandler. Of course it's going to be 90 minutes of, oops, we did something that looks gay! And good Lord, there was a 2010, 2011 film. Can we please stop laughing at people doing stuff that...
2007, actually.
Oh, God.
Is it that old?
Still no excuse. Still no excuse. We need, as a society, to move past, those guys are doing something that looks gay!
A mighty 14% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And what's the audience rating?
73%.
That is insane.
That goes to show you that most audiences, yeah.
Two things that need to go: reality shows and people laughing at gay panic.
Yes. Yep.
Oh yeah.
All right. So there we go.
You said before you're going to think that people thought we planned this. I'm going to have to add to that because I picked the Adam Sandler choice of the filmography that I personally found most offensive. It was the 2004 Spanglish.
Oh.
Wow, that was an awful fucking movie. First off, it was made by a really good director, James L. Brooks, and he gave us The Simpsons in terms of endearment.
Mm-hmm.
Good shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those I'm mature movies from Adam Sandler, and boy, is it a piece of shit. First off, it's not that. Because it's directed fine, and there's some performances in it. I'm not going to say that they aren't performances. I'm not going to call them good performances. But the basic idea of it is you have a Hispanic lady that is taking care of a rich family's family. And the rich family is played by Adam Sandler and Tia Leone. They have a daughter, they have a son, and the maid also has a young daughter. Basically, it's got stupidity bullshit going through it. You got Cloris Leachman acting crazy. You have I hate that. There's two fucking scenes in this movie that I hate that isn't the reason why I hate this fucking movie so much. There's that first scene where his little stupid fucking monologue about how his restaurant just got rated 4 stars and he hates the fact that it got rated 4 stars. Why could it have been 3 stars? Because of 4 stars, I only have to go down. And oh, fuck me for being a success. And oh, boo hoo hoo. I hate that fucking scene and I hate that fucking idea. I hate people that resent success. That's bullshit. There's the other scene that is the most awkward, horrible sex scene I've ever seen in my life. I don't even remember what led up to it, but it was Tia Leone fucking Adam Sandler, and it was, and I'm gonna say this, it was supposed to be fake, but it was so fake, and she was having sex with him because of the, it might have been because of the restaurant rating, I don't remember, but it was just so, have you seen this, Christopher?
No, but you're not exactly making me want to.
I don't want you to see it. I want to burn every copy of it. It's hard to explain this sex scene. It's almost worth looking up on YouTube because she is she is so false in it, and he's just laughing all the way through it. Like, and it's just it's that weird awkwardness that isn't like, you know, fun awkwardness, like life's too short or something like that. It's like, good God, I need to get the hell out of here awkwardness. But the big fucking stinker about this movie was the way that it ends up ending. Because, like I said, rich family, poor family, basically. Rich mom takes a shine to poor kid, right? And starts giving her stuff, and rich mom is a piece of shit, horrible human being. We got that. Great. Adam Sandler, of course, he's awesome. Of course, because it's an Adam Sandler movie, right?
Of course, yes.
And rich mom takes a shine to her, pretty much teaches her own, treats her own daughter like a piece of shit. So rich mother goes and pays for her to go to a public school. And this offends the mother so much, and she tells her daughter she quits her job with Adam Sandler and What's-Her-Face, and says, you know, no, we're not going to do this. And basically tells her daughter that you cannot accept this, the tuition for this school, because that means you're ashamed of who I am, because you don't want to be who I am. And so she's basically telling her daughter to throw away an opportunity to better herself, mm-hmm. because you won't be Hispanic and awesome like me. You'll be like that white piece of shit over there. Why can't good come out of evil, ever? Why can't good ever come out of something like this? Because this little girl, she was smart. She should have been going to this private school. She should have been given these ways to go about bettering herself. But her mother, because of some bullshit misplaced priorities, fucks her life over. And it just, it's despicable, and it pissed me off. And I fucking hate this movie. So that's why it's my number 5.
Excellent. I guess I'm one of those guys that realized early on that Adam Sandler can't do a good movie.
Cassie made me watch this.
Well, there you go. And so I saw Happy Gilmore, and then what was the one after that?
I don't know.
There was another one after that.
I'm sure there was.
And that was worse, and I was like, I don't need to watch these.
The first one was Billy Madison.
It
was
that one where he played the idiot man-child that yelled a lot.
It was Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, the only two I saw. I guess I did see Little Nicky, but saw those and went, I don't need to see these, so.
See, there's a whole bunch of them that I just don't particularly care about. I'm like, they're stupid. They're dumbing down the fucking population, but the audience is going anyway. So fuck the population if they want to be stupid. More power to them. But stuff like this, and apparently stuff like I Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. Fuck this shit.
Yeah, and movies like that are one sorry ago. Are you in this movie?
This was directed by James L. Brooks. Mm-hmm. You know, it had Cloris Leachman in it. It had Tia Leone in it. It had stuff in it that should have added up to something good. And I don't blame Adam Sandler for this. He was just playing a role. He was probably, I think the character I hated fucking most was Paz Vega. She was the one that played the maid, the little girl's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Just fuck this movie. What's your number five, Ethan?
Four.
God, I hate this fucking movie.
Alrighty. Well, speaking of movies we hate, which is all we're talking about today.
I'm going to have a heart attack by the end of this show, I think.
And you'll get an idea for the type of person I am, is I like history, especially like Greek and Roman history. And I don't like it when they screw that up. And it's the 2004 Wolfgang Petersen Troy.
That was a piece of shit.
Oh yeah.
Because you know, I referenced it earlier.
Yes, you did. Because you know, and surprisingly, has a 55% on. Yeah. But anyway,
I have one positive thing to say about it. I liked Eric Bana.
Yes,
that's it.
Yes, Eric Bana was good. But you're watching this movie. This is sort of what you get. I mean, if you've ever read the Iliad, you're gonna pull your hair out and go, "What the fuck, people?" Because you know,
I also liked what's his face, who played Odysseus. He was okay too.
Sean Bean. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of those movies that has great cast, and I'm like Wolfgang Petersen. All right. Well, King Peterson can turn out a good movie. I mean, you know, I enjoyed Air Force One, and you know the Never Ending Story. I mean, there you go. I mean, you know, Das Boot. What? Das, come on. But you know, if you sort of go with the historical sort of significance of this film and say, okay, because you know the Trojan War did happen.
It did.
Yes. You can look at it and go, okay, well, the Trojan War. Just going off of, you know, the Iliad and all that. Going off of this movie is. Go, well, you know, I guess the Trojan War took about a week and a half.
Man, everybody was good looking, had white teeth.
Yeah, everyone looked great in it. I mean, they had like bronze skin and were fit and awesome, and you know,
and Helena Troy was kind of ugly. Believe it or not.
Yeah, Brad Pitt killed everybody and then got shot in the ankle with an arrow.
Well, he got shot a whole bunch of times in the chest and then broke him off and then got shot in the ankle.
Yes,
remember that? That was just like, no, what
by
the
that
fuck?
Point I didn't care. And then for me, sort of the huge thing, and my dad, who's a huge Roman and Greek history, military history guy. I mean, he knows a lot about it. We saw this movie together because I was like, okay, let's go see this. Both him and I just have a field day with this. At the end of the movie, when Priam, played by Peter O'Toole.
Peter O'Toole.
When their people are escaping the burning of Troy, he like hands his sword. I can't remember specifically. I think it's his sword. He hands it off to Aeneas.
Yeah.
And says, "Okay, as long as this is in the hands of a Trojan, Troy survives." Then they run off. And both my dad are like,
"No,
Aeneas wasn't Trojan."
Yeah.
Wait. So, and not even that, I mean, they mispronounce names.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, Menelaus instead of Menelaus.
Patroclus instead of Patroclus. They were saying Patroclus. They're saying Patroclus, and it's Patroclus.
And you just want to go, do you guys know what a book is? Can you read? Have you even consulted?
When did this come out?
2004.
Really? It seemed longer ago than that.
It's that thing you want to go, did you consult anyone who has ever read a historical book? Because this movie just fails on so many levels.
And Hector
was
way too nice.
Hector's way too nice.
And he felt way too bad for killing Patroclus. But in the book, he was like, "Oh shit, I killed Patroclus. Cool, fuck you. I killed your cousin. What are you gonna do now, bitch?"
And it was funny. You know, you find yourself watching.
You guys are reminding me of the scene in the mockumentary "And God Spoke," where they're getting ready to film the scene where Jesus and his eight apostles get the boat, and the director stops and goes, "Wait, weren't there more than eight?" They finally decided it was 10.
Yeah.
This is just one of those things, like with Alexander, it's like, how do you take a story like the Iliad and butcher it?
They must not have read the book.
Such a horrible way that you get Troy out of it. And I remember being excited about hearing about this.
Me too.
It's going to be a cool sword and sandal film. You know, it's going to be cool.
Brad Pitt could have played a good Achilles. Eric Bana did play a good Hector.
Yeah, except he's overshadowed by the absolute badness of the movie.
Yeah, I know. That's what sucks about it.
And shortly after, my brother has never seen this movie, and shortly after this, he sent me a link to a Penny Arcade comic.
Mm-hmm.
And the Penny Arcade comic was about the movie Troy. And it had, for people who don't know, Eric Bana is in it, so is Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
Well, in the comic, it sort of summed up what has it. It has Eric Bana and Orlando Bloom's characters standing there, because Orlando Bloom is Paris and Eric Bana is Hector. They're standing there in Troy, and they both look at each other, and Orlando Bloom says, "You know what we must do." And then the next panel is Legolas and the Hulk just kicking the crap out of the Greek army. And then it comes back. It's like Legolas and the Hulk kick the crap out of the Greek army. Happy ending. Troy wins. And and I just emailed the back.
I'd like to see that movie.
I emailed Eric back and said, that would have made the movie good.
Yep.
that would have at least been so outlandish. I'm like, fuck it. I mean, it's sort of like what Tarantino did in
Inglourious Bastards.
It's like, fuck history.
Yeah.
Fuck the story everyone knows. We're just going to, Troy's going to win, and it's going to be Legolas and Hulk killing everything. Ha, 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 ha. That, I think, would have been like, all right, I can at least be entertained by that. But no, you get an absolute travesty of a movie where nothing is right, except for, I know this is nitpicking, except for the costume worn by Brad Pitt is fairly historically accurate.
His sword wasn't, neither was his shield.
Everything else about the movie was wrong.
Yep.
And it's just an awful film, and people need to never see it. Instead, read the Iliad, for crying out loud.
Yeah, it's a good book.
So there you have it.
Homer, the Iliad.
Have you seen that one, Christopher?
No, and if I'm being too snarky, please correct me. But it's just one of those films, I hear they're making it, and I'm remembering the old, I snarkily recall this, the great Hitchcock tagline, do not give away the shock ending you'll see.
I
said the same thing about Titanic. Apparently didn't hurt that film's success any, but
no.
There you go.
Yeah, the boat sinks. All right, so that is my...
Spoiler.
Oh, crap. Spoiler alert, right. Well, that's my number four. We're going to spoil it for all those people that are going to go see it in 3D in a week. So.
What? Oh, Titanic. Yes. Yeah, okay.
So there you go.
They're putting out Iliad in 3D?
And I think there's a director's cut of this movie out there, and I don't care.
I don't care.
I'm like, no, I don't want to see more of this. No. There is nothing that can get me to want to see more of Troy.
It was awful. All right, Christopher, what's your number four?
All right, number four. I won't say much about it because we got off on trashing this film in the midst of another podcast. But number four for me is we're back on moral offense level here again.
Gotcha.
And it's the 2005 Best Picture nominee Crash.
Best Picture winner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Forgive me. Yes. But you know, without getting into current events that everybody is sick of hearing about, you know, my duh moment for the day is that America has a serious, serious, serious need to engage in a serious, serious racial dialogue. And you know, probably the least helpful thing that you could do for this, other than maybe send in Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, is to make another condescending, trivial, trite film about it. And everybody pretending that in 2005, you're still saying something valuable about racial dialogue by being trite, condescending, and oh so twee about it. So it may not be the worst film of this genre ever made, but it's one that's grown extremely tiresome and indeed counterproductive. And it's the type of film that frankly needs to die in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Normally, I'm for film preservation. I think I'm going to join that Crow T Robot campaign to start letting certain films disintegrate to dust, because I will give serious money for all copies of Crash to just be allowed to rot in the sun.
Yes, it's one of those where you want to go out and buy all copies of the movie and then destroy them.
Oh, so people, one by one.
So people are not subjected to it. Yes.
Crash won me $300 at the in the Oscar pool.
Nice. I never saw it. My dad watched it, said it wasn't good, so I was like, all right, I don't need to see
it. It's not that good. Basically, I knew it was going to win Best Picture because I knew Hollywood wasn't going to give Best Picture to a movie about a bunch of faggots, which is, it was up against Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
And I love Brokeback Mountain. I thought that was a good movie. But, okay. I mean, I haven't seen it since it came out, and I knew that people were going to eat it up because people are stupid. So, we're on to my number four. My number four, what did I just yell about?
Spanglish.
Okay, so we're on to my number four. And I don't know who directed it. I don't care. I don't know what year it came out. Another one that I fucking hated. This is one that I didn't like because of just how asinine it was. I think it was 97 or so, but it was Mad City. Did you see that?
97. Oh!
The John Travolta movie. And Dustin Hoffman.
Okay.
37% on...
I think I may have seen parts of this one, but...
okay.
It didn't leave an impression.
This one is not one that particularly offends because it's, you know, immoral or anything like that. This is one, see, 1997, I would have been 16, 17, 18, something like that. So I was full of shit, right? I saw this movie, when I watched it, I was 15 minutes into it, and I completely completely guessed the way that it was going to end. And it was like one of those, like, wouldn't it be stupid if this movie ended like this? Basically, John Travolta plays a security guard in a museum or a bank, or I don't know, a security guard somewhere, gets laid off. He comes back in with a gun trying to get his job back. He's a fucking idiot, right? And Dustin Hoffman is a down-on-his-luck reporter who happens to be in the building and befriends John Travolta over the course of the movie. So he's actually acting as a intermediary in-between person between John Travolta and the cops and stuff. Over the course of the movie, John Travolta actually accidentally shoots his co-worker, and he goes to the hospital. He didn't, but, you know, it looks like he's going to be okay. And he talks to him on the phone, and he's all like, yeah, I get it. You know, you're just doing it for you and your own, and blah, blah, blah. So, basically, the movie devolves. Is what it does. Is it basically, you know damn well the way this movie is not going to end, and Dustin Hoffman's going to feel bad about it. And that's exactly what fucking happens. He ends up finding out that his friend he accidentally shot dies of a heart attack in the hospital. And John Travolta lets go all the fucking hostages, and they go outside, and John Travolta blows up the building. And Dustin Hoffman lives through it. He's outside, and his little stupid protege bitch was with him. Who he's teaching to be this piece of shit, but he has this glorious moment of self-reflection and realizes that, you know, good things can happen in this world, and John Travolta gets blown up, which would have been awesome if they really did that, but no, they didn't do that. So he dies, and then Dustin Hoffman gets hit in the head with, like, a something. He's got a piece of blood coming down his face, and he goes to wipe it off, and his dumbass little whore of a protege stops. He's like, no, it'll look better if you leave it there for the news. And then all the fucking all the news people are rushing up on him, and oh, what happened, and blah blah blah. And Dustin Hoffman's boss says, it's a bigger story than ever now. And it ends with this stupid pan shot from above of all these people rushing on Dustin Hoffman. He's going, no, we killed him, it's our fault. And it was just trite bullshit stupidity. And I really like Dustin Hoffman most of the time. He does some horrible movies. John Travolta can fuck off, but Dustin Hoffman is usually pretty good. And I hated this fucking movie because it insulted my idiotic 16-year-old intelligence. And there's nothing good about it. Fuck this movie. So, Ethan?
I never saw it.
Don't. So. Christopher?
I was listening to all that and, you know, thinking sad thoughts about Dustin Hoffman, and then it occurred to me, I wonder if about the time he was making Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, you know, he would have, like, yeah, sad little moments off camera, thinking about the salad days when he was making Mad City.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman used to be
great. The only
thing
I was thinking while you were going through that was, man, I'm glad I watched Dog Day Afternoon instead.
Dog Day Afternoon was a good movie.
Remember Dustin Hoffman? He used to be in movies.
Yeah. Whatever happened? He used to be in movies. He's not in movies anymore. But yeah, what's your number three, Ethan?
All right. My number three is...
I fucking hate Mad City.
Now, one thing I've noticed about doing my list is I've got three sequels and four adaptations on here.
Eh?
This is one of the adaptations. It's 2008's Max Payne.
I didn't see that.
Now, I know it sounds odd and whatnot. It's based on a video game, and it's a very fun video game. But this is one of those that just sort of offends Ethan as a moviegoer, and Ethan as a connoisseur of fun, good action films. The video game is a shoot 'em up, you know, two guns, both guns blazing, you know, stuff exploding, you know, craziness, except for the random level where you're running around on a trail of blood in a dream, and it becomes a platformer, which is terrible. But the predominantly the movie is all about blowing crap up and, you know, crazy 80s style Hong Kong action crazy film, or crazy game. And so they announced they're doing a movie based on it because it's a big hit, and, you know, I'm like, alright, cool, alright. Mark Wahlberg's in it. I'm like, okay.
Imagine that.
Well, okay, who cares? Matt, Mark Wahlberg, I don't care. It's Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. I go and see this movie, and, you know, because the trailer is like, oh, well, there's stuff blowing up, and he's shooting guns and everything. I'm like, sweet. And I go see the movie, and, you know, every action sequence that you see in the trailer
was in the movie.
Is every action sequence in the movie. And I find myself watching it going, how do they make this game that is an action game into a boring-ass non-action movie where there is just nothing going on. It's like 2 hours of nothing. Where you have a few action sequences that are over before you really think about it. And me being a big action movie fan, you know, those are types of movies that I generally get into. But Max Payne comes off as this, you were talking, you know, in the last one you were talking about being, you know, the insipid, stupid. This one has this outright, you know, it's like, it's billing itself as this big action movie, but you go to it and it's trying to have this deeper intellectual meaning to the movie. And I'm like, you're based on a freaking video game. What the hell are you getting off on trying to change the world and change people's viewpoints about violence and, you know, living and all this crazy BS? When I'm like, and you are just why does this movie think that it is an Oscar contender when it is obviously a horrifyingly bad movie? Because it is this action movie that's based on a video game that the filmmakers like, we're going to make something that, you know, is going to sweep the Oscars. It's going to get 15 nominations. It's going to knock everything down. Mark Wahlberg gonna be the Oscar. He's gonna be being everything after this. And it just, everyone who's making this movie thinks they're making some fine piece of beautiful art. You know, so they're painting a picture. They're making a gorgeous sculpture that will last throughout everything. And as a viewer, you're watching this with this look on your face, going, "How did this happen? What it's that thing where you go to an art gallery." And you see pieces of art that are in there, and you're like, how the hell did this get on display? This looks like someone took a dump in a toilet and put it in an art museum. I could do better than this if I just threw paint on myself and jumped up and down. And this movie comes out, and of course it does not make money. It gets a horrible reviews. It's got a 16% on Rotten Tomatoes,
36% audience rating.
36%. See, even the audience were like, "What the fuck?" And because they bill it as this one thing, you go to it and it's this entirely insulting other thing, and you go, "Did you play the game? Do you know what Max Payne's life is all about? Being miserable, yes, but it's also about shooting the hell out of people with guns." And they're like, the action scenes in the movie are short, sweet, and not even sweet. They're just short and dull. For me, this is one of those that ended up on my list as it's a movie that insulted Ethan.
Wow.
It's a movie that was like, really? It's one of those that's like, this was an easy movie to make, guys. How did you fuck that up? So there's Max Payne 2008.
I had no interest and I didn't see it, so... I'll take your word for it, and I won't see it.
All right. There you go.
You see it, Christopher? I had a rule going in. Anything that comes from a video game or, you know, like an 80s cartoon that's, you know, by and large, it's like, you know, beating up kids in wheelchairs. It makes you look all the sadder for having attempted it.
But you can at least have fun movies based on that. Like the first Mortal Kombat is at least entertaining. Doom is at least entertaining because it knows what it is.
I haven't seen Doom, but I like
it. That's the thing.
Mortal Kombat could just as easily be a kung fu movie.
See, as long as the movie just knows that we're based on a video game, we're going for an effect. This isn't Shakespeare. Let's just make something that's at least fun. Then it's fine. This movie just went way beyond that, saying we're going to make something that is going to be epic and fascinating through time, and instead you get this insulting piece of crap. Okay.
Well, I just think there's far too many lazy movies being made, and I think there are far too many people giving far too many passes that, oh, it's dumb, but it's fun. You know, I'm a little too hungry for something that isn't dumb and isn't fun necessarily.
Sure.
Yeah. Just me.
Nah, and I'm just all about the escapism, so...
I don't know where I am. Well, I just like being entertained and sometimes challenged. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I just want to...
Yeah.
I just want to not be angry when I'm looking at the TV, or if at least I'm angry, it's a good constructive way, like Das Boot or something like that, or Boys Don't Cry or something, you know, along those lines. I mean, like, that's a good anger. I mean, because, you know, you're supposed to be angry about what happens and stuff like that, but... I don't know. Christopher, number three. All right. Number three is Transformers, any of them or all of them. I frankly don't care.
I only saw the first one, and it was dumb.
And now you're probably thinking, wait a second. I thought this was supposed to be all moral affronts. How is this a greater moral affront?
Isn't this like picking on a kid in a wheelchair?
I tell you what. Normally, I would say, yes, you're absolutely right. But my hatred from this film took on a whole new level, and I cannot take credit for this at all. This was a wonderful piece about this film series written by the always wonderful people at Cracked.com.
Ah, okay.
And their take on this film was Transformers is, in many ways, the studio's ultimate dream film and the ultimate nightmare of anybody who's ever loved the medium of cinema, because they require absolutely no human participation whatsoever. They might as well be made by robots, because frankly 90% of it is made by robots. There are people who show up, but we don't care about them because they've changed several times, hasn't hurt it at the box office one little bit. They're universally regarded as terrible, and they've all made over $300 million.
Didn't the third one make just shy of a billion?
Yeah, yes. It made a bazillion. Yes.
It made a lot of money. So they all make money.
Oh, yeah.
It's these perfectly awful films that are rewarded for their awfulness and their laziness beyond all measure. And just like that prophetic man on the Sci-Fi Channel several years ago said that Volcano is the future of cinema, I think the Transformers movies are the future of cinema. They will be created, they will be written by robots, they will be performed by robots, and they will be watched by idiots who will pay $300 million for the privilege of seeing horrible, horrible films without the slightest shred of human content. And it may well destroy the most powerful and vital art form of the last 100 years.
The first one was stupid, so I didn't bother beyond that. That's all I gotta say. And I also didn't care about the cartoon. So that's where I am. Ethan likes them.
I find them at least escapism entertainment. Sorry, but, you know,
my wife loves them, but you know, I just don't. Christopher, I should care about these fucking movies, because they make so much money, and they are driving things so much at the box office. That's why we got the fucking Smurfs and stuff like that, because these 80s cartoon movies are just making hands over fist fucking money. And it makes studios think that Michael Bay is a viable filmmaker. Michael Bay, at his best, which hasn't been for 15-20 years, I'd say. Like, I liked The Rock because it was just pure dumb. Just pure dumb action movie. That's a turn off their brain. I can get behind that. But they actually think that this is a filmmaker, and he's at best a dumbass, idiot, man-child movie maker. And he does that well. But, you know, I'd like to see him expand a little bit. So,
yeah, like in a planet with no atmosphere on route to, you know.
He tried with Pearl Harbor and failed.
Ooh, I haven't seen that actually, though. I knew how it ended. I didn't need to.
No, I'm not going to come to the defense. I completely admit that they're bad movies, but I thoroughly enjoy them. So.
It's like I didn't see Passion of the Christ. I've read the book. I don't need to see it. So where are we? My number two?
You're number three.
Three. This is probably a movie I don't like. Let's see. What is it?
Seven Samurai.
Yep. That's why the poster is behind me.
Yes.
Let's just get this shit out of the way. I don't know when it came out. I don't know who directed it. I don't care. It's Highlander, The Source. What an awful movie. It's not on Rotten Tomatoes. I looked it up earlier. It hasn't even registered as a bowel movement on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean,
that's because it's only had 4 critic reviews. The audience gave it a 33%.
There is nothing redeeming about this. And what's funny is, if I made this list 10 years ago, I guarantee you Highlander 2 would probably be my number one.
Yeah.
But because of this movie, I understand Highlander 2.
For the longest time, you know, just to ask us, we were like, Highlander 2, worst movie ever. Highlander 2 is awful. Bad, 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 bad. And, you know, it's like somebody said, oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah?
You think Highlander 2 is bad?
Yeah.
I'm going to make Highlander The Source.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question, Aaron, if you don't mind.
Please.
All right. Okay. If this film hadn't have come out like 5 or 10 years after everybody stopped giving a crap about anything Highlander rated, do you think this would be the film that we joke about the same way that most people joke about Highlander 2? Is it that bad?
It's beyond Highlander. It is so much worse than Highlander 2. Highlander 2 is a bad movie. It's a mess.
It's a train wreck.
A train wreck. It completely disregards the previous film. However, there is a cinematic language to it.
No, that's the problem, is it doesn't disregard the previous
film. Well, I mean, it doesn't disregard it, but it pays it no mind either.
Oh yes, there was a previous
film. But there is a cinematic language going on there. The scenes make sense from one to the other. For the most part, there's a continuity. Sean Connery is in it. And I am not defending this movie at all, no. Okay?
It has the excuse of coming out in, like, 91.
So yeah.
It's like, okay, its excuse is it was an early 90s sequel.
It was competently put together.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying that it was at least, you know, they got all the parts in the right places. They weren't mm-hmm. missing any of the pegs or anything like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the source doesn't even rise to that level.
Oh, God, no.
No.
No. Did you see Highlander 3?
They all started to blend together after the second one.
Highlander 3 had Mario Van Peebles in it.
Highlander 4 was a pretty much two episodes glued together, released in the movie theaters, hands over fist better than this horrible movie. My thing about Highlander movies is I just do not understand why they can't get this right. There's nothing fucking to it. You have a Highlander, you have a bad guy, they fight, and then that's it. But they have to go and they have to expand upon this mythology that's really well established.
Well, it's the whole concept of sucking the mysticism out of it. You know, it's like, okay, the first movie is interesting because, you know, you don't need to explain where they come from. They just are. Moving on.
And then meanwhile on the planet Zeiss.
you go, what?
And then, Highlander 3 is not good by any stretch of the imagination. No. I'm not saying it is. However, you can almost buy it. Why Connor thought that he was the one, because this Mario Van Peebles guy, the Don King guy, was stuck in the mountain dead, so he actually did get the fucking prize, but when he came out, it was no longer like that, and so the whole cycle started over again. Then they had to put stupid crap in there, like shape-shifting, and so it was almost there. You know, the fourth one is not, also, it's not good, but it's pretty much two episodes glued together. There is certainly much worse episodes of the show.
I remember watching watching the TV series.
Yeah.
And you know, in the TV series, you know, Duncan kills Ryan. That's his name,
right? Richie Ryan.
He kills Richie and then goes for a year to a monastery to grieve and all that.
Cuts his hair.
And then cuts his hair and all that. In the movie, he kills Connor, his mentor, the guy who brought it. And it's like, he sits there for a couple hours and goes, I think I'm going to go get a steak. I'm kind of hungry.
Yeah.
And then continues on, defeats the bad guy doll. It's like, wait.
Okay.
What?
The problem with the... Okay.
Mythos was funny, though.
Yeah.
I still wanted the Mythos series.
I didn't. There was a Mythos series. It was online and animated. And it was awesome, but it was...
That's too bad.
There's only like six of them. Okay, the thing that there's so many things that suck about this. It's it doesn't make any the scenes don't fit together. The effects suck. The acting is wooden. He gets his sword broken and replaces it with fucking $12 butterfly swords.
Ooh.
And the whole thing about the movie is, you know, there is this source of whatever, the source of the immortality somewhere on Earth.
Yeah.
And they're going to go find it. And there's
a crazy S&M guy
guarding it. And I swear, imagine if one of the guys from, what are those Pinhead movies? Hellraiser. Imagine that was a bad guy in Highlander, and that's a bad guy in this.
And it's post-apocalyptic,
too.
So, like, after the world has ended.
Mm-hmm. And then, okay, so the movie comes down, they kill Joe Dawson, and Mythos leaves, because he always leaves.
Yeah, well, they kill Joe in the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
They don't kill Mythos?
No, he just leaves.
I sort of saw this movie. I watched the first 20 minutes, then fast-forwarded to the end.
No, they didn't kill Mythos. He ran off... He very easily could have been dead, but he didn't die.
It's because Mythos is too awesome to die.
But, you know, there's this thing where, you know, he's like, take my head, you need my power, because that was what the whole entire series was about.
Yes.
Mythos saying, take my head, you need my power, and Duncan saying no. But
Duncan going,
and then basically there's a whole bunch of these bad guys, and Mythos runs off, and they chase him, and that's Mythos, ending the movie. Okay, so they find the source of the wiggity-wiggity, cool, I'm an immortal stuff, right? And then the S&M guy and...
And it's this ball.
And it's a ball. And they find it, and when they get closer to it, they're no longer immortal. Ooh. So the closer they get to it, they're immortal. So they get to it, and they have a fight, and I cannot illustrate the stupidity of this fucking fight, Christopher. You would have to watch it to see how dumb it is.
And this is both Aaron and I are good, you know, we're sword fight fans. You
yeah.
know? I mean, we did a list a long time ago of best sword fights in movies.
Yeah.
I mean, come on,
yeah.
you can have a good sword fight.
And it was so stupid. Okay, so they fight a whole bunch, and then Duncan and the guy, like the S&M guy, holds up a block, right? And then Duncan is running. Is it Duncan?
Yeah.
Duncan is running around him, and it literally looks like something you would do on Windows Movie Maker. It's in fast motion, and he's running around him, attacking him, and the guy's running around with them, and he literally screws him into the ground.
Oh, God.
And so the guy's like, okay, you win. Kill me. Kill me. Kill me. And Duncan's like, no. I'm Connor McCloud of the Clan McCloud, or Duncan McCloud of the Clan McCloud, and he throws down his $12 butterfly sword,
comes up, chops off his head, and wins.
and he says no, and he throws it down, walks away, and boom! That was the key. You were supposed to walk away from the fight. The point of the game was to not play the game. So, Mythos not playing the game for 4,000 years doesn't count.
Yes.
Darius not playing the game for 9,000 years doesn't count. The guy with Down syndrome not understanding the game doesn't count. It's just mind-bendingly fucking awful.
It's one of those where that's your twist.
Have you considered how much more thought you've put in this film than anybody associated with it?
I have.
I fast-forwarded through and it. I think, all right, that was bad.
And I think I probably spent 5 minutes thinking about it. And you're right, I did put more thought into it.
I'm going to go watch the first movie. You know, it's at least good.
Yeah. It's got Clancy Brown in it. It's so bad. And there's no... I know that a lot of people say shit. I could make a Highlander movie. I know I could. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be that hard. I would need some money. I'd probably need help with the script, but I wouldn't have fucking Zeist or the sword or an S&M guy as my bad guy. I mean,
mm-hmm. Well, no. My whole thing about the Highlander series is it's a series that didn't need to happen. Not the TV series, the
movies.
The movies is it's a movie franchise that didn't need to exist, because it's like you have the first movie and it is what it is and it's done.
Right.
You don't. There is no sequel. There is no moving on, because you don't need to do that. And they just beat that dead horse into an absolute pulp.
Yeah, into a paste.
And it's like, why, guys? You didn't need to do that.
This is the only time I can think of to where the television show is better than the movie series, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And the television series is not that good.
No, it's got some stinking.
Real quick, to say something about my awesome wife.
Okay.
She's a huge fan of the Highlander TV series, and she stayed married to me, even though she would rush in excitedly to watch it every week, and I would just wander in the room and go, is this the one where the guy gets his head cut off?
I remember I had...
an awesome woman?
Well, because with the movies, it's like, well, okay, here's the basic thing, guys, is you have Connor McCloud, and you have a bad guy. One of them has to lose their head to die. Guess what's going to happen in
wash,
the movie.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
And you just don't need to keep repeating it. And the problem is they kept trying to throw in new stuff, which was like, guys, why? You don't need to be okay. And the TV series is entertaining, and it's interesting to watch because of the people that show up in it. So, mm-hmm. I mean, Jason Isaacs.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. It's kind of entertaining, but...
It is what it is.
Yeah.
One of the things that I thought was funny about it is, we'll move on in just a second. Back in the day when I was watching it, I was keeping a list, right, of how many kills Duncan had and Mythos and Richie and all that stuff. And you know, I'd have it written down. I would have, you know,
I remember that. Yeah.
I have, you know, immortal written down, you know, like date of birth written down, you know, name, and then death. And I had that sitting on my computer desk, and my dad found it. And so he saw this list that said, you know, like so and so immortal, dead on such and such a day. He's like, do you know what this word immortal means? It was, I'm like,
nice.
I can't explain this to you.
I think I remember that list. You're making that while we were working at the video store.
Yeah, yeah. And if I remember right, Duncan took 100 heads even in the show. But, yep. So, yeah, it's a movie that redeems Highlander 2. That's how bad this movie is.
Yeah.
Ethan, number two.
Okay. Now, this one might speak to Christopher a bit. It might even speak to you, Aaron, us being gamers and all.
It's the
2000 Dungeons & Dragons movie.
I got into a car wreck that day, and that was preferable.
I almost got into a car wreck that day. I remember vividly seeing this, because we went to see it on a Monday night, and Monday night was usually the night that we gamed, and we canceled the game so we could specifically go see Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And a horrible ice storm hit that day. And so, of course, where I work, I get out of work like at 6 o'clock or something like that, and or 7 o'clock, and then the movie's like at 8.
Yeah.
So I have to get across town to get to this, and I almost get into a car wreck and everything. We go see this movie. And pretty much can sum it up by the dead silence that sort of lingers in the theater after the credits roll, because they're all sitting there, and I break the silence by just going, "What the fuck was that?" And part of the magic, what the hell? And you know, it's one of those, it's on the tails of the Lord of the Rings stuff, so it's like, obviously, you know, fantasy movies are,
this is before Lord of the Rings, wasn't it?
No.
Really? Huh. Okay. No, if you say so. Well, it couldn't have been one was 2001.
Yeah, 2001. So, I mean, it's their... the whole reason this movie came out is because Lord of the Rings is getting so much hype.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a bit more behind the movie as far as it's getting, you know, it was being worked on for a while, et cetera, and the whole TSR Watsy business. But anyway.
Courtney Solomon directed since?
He did An American Haunting, and that's it. Huh. 5 years later, 2005, and he hasn't done anything since. But Dungeons and Dragons is one of those where, I mean, you have a cast in it that includes Jeremy Irons. I mean, Academy Award nominee Jeremy Irons. And
Academy Award winner.
Academy Award winner. Sorry.
Of Fortune, yeah.
Who's in this movie chewing up the scenery, because you can tell that he does not give a rat's ass.
He was kind of fun,
and it's one of those things that just infuriated me as a fan of Dungeons and Dragons, as a gamer. I'm watching this movie going, how can you absolutely, you know, because I remember at Gen Con that year, a lot of the stars were there, the director was there, it was a huge deal, you know.
That guy was in Highlander, was in it, the fourth Highlander,
yes. Everyone's going off about how, oh, you know, it captures the spirit of D&D, and I'm watching this just going, all these, you know, the director's a longtime player of D&D and whatnot, yet of all the people they chose to direct a movie, they got a goober to do it.
Yeah.
Because they got a munchkin gamer who's like, if you have a high dexterity, you have to be a thief, who comes in and directs this movie, and you're just like, what version of D&D were you playing?
House rules.
The only way that I could see this movie, I mean, at least he didn't have alignment languages in it, for crying out loud. It's like, I can't understand you. I'm speaking chaotic good.
Yeah.
But, you know, otherwise he goes in there, he butchers the dungeons part, he butchers the dragons part, he butchers the dwarves, he butchers the humans. I mean, any gamer who is watching this movie...
The 7 foot tall dwarf.
Yes, the 7 foot tall dwarf. Any gamer who is watching this movie is going to see this, the opening sequence. It's like, we're two thieves. Hey, let's go break into the mage's school. And for me, the way that would have played out was the camera would just stay there as they wander off, and then you see an explosion out of a window in the Wizard's Tower, and then the camera pans over to the real adventurers who are watching this going, what fucking idiots? Because, I mean, not, and even beyond that, it totally butchered the whole concept of Dungeons and Dragons, you know, fun entertainment. It did things like have beholders as part of
nothing with as the background
in the background as part of a troop of guards wandering around. I'm like, yeah, beholders do that. And the dragons are being dumb, pretty much dinosaurs, and I'm watching this just going, and also the fact that the main guy, Justin Whalen. Oh, Justin Whalen.
Wasn't he Jimmy Olsen on Lois and Clark?
Yeah, starting in the second year.
Okay,
they replaced
so.
Him. But he shows up in this movie, and he's pretty much the only guy that does anything, because whenever there's a part, because that's another big thing about D&D, is you have parties going and doing things, and this one it's like, okay, the party goes here, and only Justin Whalen can go inside the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes off, and the other ones stand around and play Parcheesi.
I remember I liked
Rock, Paper, Scissors.
I liked the Waylon brother better. Wayan brother better than him.
Marlon Wayans?
Yeah. Which is crazy because he sucked.
But best part of the movie is when he dies, and you can slow motion when Damodar, Damodal, knocks him off the cliff. I'm like, oh, you can watch him bounce.
Yeah.
and put it in reverse.
He stabbed him in the back and kicked him off a cliff. Yeah.
And you know, Damodar, he with the blue lips.
Yeah.
You're just sort of watching this movie in abstract horror, especially if you know anything about Dungeons and Dragons, and you're going, God, this is what people, especially coming from gamers, you know, who notoriously have bad representation in the media. You're watching, this is what people are going to think we do. This is what, when I'm saying, I play Dungeons and Dragons, like, oh, what, like that god-awful piece of shit movie? Ha 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 ha! Part of the magic. Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
We go, no, no, we actually have fun. And
best thing about that movie is the way it ends and implies they all die.
Yeah. Apart from almost getting in a car accident seeing this movie, and
I did get in a car accident, which was preferable.
Yes.
My part of this story is, yeah, I was at my parents coming home. I ditched the car and couldn't get to the movie, so I'm like, just go without me. And I came home, and they're all like, oh, no, it was so bad. It was so bad. And I listened to this for, you know, 4 minutes or however long it took for it to, excuse me, come out on DVD, and I watched it, and it was bad. But, you know, it was just,
well, and it was just also, add insult to injury is on the DVD. They've got a big making of it, and you're watching this, and the director is speaking, and these words are coming out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I want this man to die.
Yeah, shut up.
Because he so obviously is playing a different game.
I like the Richard O'Brien scene. I remember that part.
Yes. Well, Richard O'Brien, he was in it for 3 seconds.
Yeah, I liked that scene. I mean, it was 3 seconds.
And
3 seconds doesn't make a movie, nor does it ruin it.
You know, and it's one of those movies where you really wanted to be a fly on the set to see someone like Jeremy Irons in this movie do his scene and get off set. And he probably had a guy standing off camera with a big wad of cash.
Yeah.
And every time, after he did a scene, he'd come back going, man, I've done Shakespeare on the stage. They'd hand him like $1,000 bill or fan him with the money.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're good, okay.
Mm.
Or someone like just show him the check.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, yeah, I need to put one of my kids through college. And this movie, just painfully bad. And you know, it's one of those things that is frustrating as a gamer to be represented as such.
It was frustrating that the piece of shit second one was so much better.
Mystery Science Theater 3000 show where they did Outlaw of Gore.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Forrester is informing Mike that Jack Palance is in it, and he says, and Jack Palance is in it, who agreed to work for Scotch.
Exactly. Exactly. And then, I mean, it's a sad thing when the direct-to-DVD sequel is better. Not necessarily a good movie,
but better
than this movie.
Yeah.
And then I hear Sci-Fi Channel is doing a third one, so I'm like, oh, God, just stop. Please, stop.
Yeah, they were responsible for Highlander the Source as well.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So there you have it. And so that's my number two, is Dungeons & Dragons in 2000. Fuck, no.
Yeah. Not good. Have you seen it, Christopher?
You know, I haven't, but it's a film that I can't hate because one of the blessings of having worked in the game industry is I've gotten to meet some people that were with TSR during the period that they were negotiating out the rights to this film.
Mm-hmm.
And the inside story of how this film, the film rights got transferred and the creative decisions that got made out, is far more hysterical and entertaining than anything that ever found up on the screen.
And that's
I cannot think of the film without thinking about these great stories. So yeah, I actually have a positive association.
And if they had put some of those stories on the DVD, I would own it because I'd want to hear that stuff. I'm fascinated by the behind the scenes and the stuff like that. That's why I like Alien 3, you know, a new cut of it, because the information behind it is really fascinating.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, I want to hear the story of why is this movie so awful, you know? And too many times you watch those and people come off saying, it's like, oh, it's just, I liked it. I thought it was great. And it's like, you really secretly know that it was a piece of shit, right?
Yes.
No, I'd love to hear those stories.
Mm, me too. But what's your number two, Christopher?
All right. Okay. All right. Let's see here. Number two is the. It is a film made by a cancer on modern American society, Bill Maher. His film, Religious.
I saw that.
Because speaking of things that America could stand to have, well, actually, all mankind could stand to have a reasonable, measured dialogue on, it's the role of faith and religion in the modern world. But instead, we get a guy whose favorite political favorite word for his political enemies is cunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not always, I tell you, going back to the Founding Fathers, the Federalist Papers, nothing convinces me that you're making a sophisticated political argument then by including the word cunt.
Yeah.
You know, it's him, and he's an atheist and a smartass, and I some of the people that I dearly love in this world are atheist smartasses.
I'm one of them.
But he's going to take down organized religion by taking on some of the most deluded, deranged people out there. You know, he's not exactly debating, you know, Pope Benedict,
mm-hmm.
or anybody that would be in any way a threat to his already predetermined beliefs.
Right.
So, I mean, it's an utterly pointless film because I don't know who would want to see it other than people that have already agreed that they already made up their mind. They agree with what Bill Maher says.
And, mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, frankly, if you're agreeing with Bill Maher too much, you really ought to be thinking more about sterilization mm-hmm. than going to the movies. It's one of those things that there was a lost opportunity there, and instead it just winds up poisoning the dialogue.
Exactly. Now, I understand that you're a person of faith. I think that's great. I am not. And I am one of those smart-ass atheists that we talk about. So, fundamentally, I should have enjoyed this movie, and I hate Bill Maher. I hate Bill Maher, but I thought, okay, I'm going to watch a movie that about somebody that's talking about, you know, things that, you know, might relate to me from my point of view, right? And Bill Maher is just such a... I don't have the word for it. A cancer in modern society. I hate that guy. And I hate the fact that I have to consider him amongst my ranks, and he's much more...
Well, thank you for saying that, because I was going to say that I love a lot of atheists as a rule. My great pity for atheists is that they have that unfortunately most people think that Bill Maher is a spokesman for them.
Well, see, my spokesman for atheism is Penn Jillette. You know, love him or hate him, he's at least
there you go. There you go.
Love him or hate him, he's intelligent. And
there you go.
Bill Maher, I hate him. But the thing about, and I don't want this to get too political or anything, but
I know who Bill Maher is, but I've never seen any of his
stuff. He's horrible. See, he's a cancer. The whole thing about it is, you know, like because of a religious point of view, you have to. They seem to think that all atheists belong together. No, atheists just don't belong to a religion, and I hate that about it. I hate that about it, and that's what fucking irritates me about this, is because this is probably one of the more visual documentaries out there about atheism, and you have a fuckstick like Bill Maher out there representing me, and I would much rather there be Penn Jillette. But you know,
as a believing Catholic, I've always said Penn Jillette is God's favorite atheist.
He's actually offered me a job twice. He offered me a job to come up and edit his podcast, and to come up and run his boards on the podcast that he does, and he would pay me not nearly enough money to go up there.
Yeah.
And I've spoken with him quite a few times. The way I understand, he's an asshole. I'm sure he is, but I respect him. He's intelligent. I like listening to him. So, but I agree, and you know, and that's saying something, because, you know, you're a Catholic and I'm an atheist, and we can both agree to hate Bill Maher together. That's wonderful.
Oh, yes, yes. This hateful podcast, bringing people together.
Yes, one thing at a time. Okay, my number two is one that's going to kind of seem like a repeat, but it's not. And once again, I don't care who directed it. I don't care what year it came out. But it is it's an Adam Sandler movie, but it's actually an Adam Sandler movie. I don't consider the Spanglish to be an Adam Sandler movie. I consider that to be a what's-his-face? Brooks movie. This is Eight Crazy Nights, the not Christmas movie, the Jewish movie.
I rings a small bell, but
2002.
I see he's paying attention to Adam Sandler.
It's a animated piece of bullshit is what it is.
Oh, that's right. It's animated.
And, and once again, I just said I'm an atheist. I don't care. I don't have a problem with the fact that it's about Hanukkah. I have a problem with the fact that it's a fucking stupid-ass movie. It assumes so much of you. I mean, there's one time where, you know, there's a lot of times in movies where, you know, like, you know, Star Wars, you know, they place it upon the audience to believe in the Force, okay? You know, they show us shit moving around and people swinging around laser swords, okay? Suspension of misbelief. But this movie is trying to assume that you can come to like this reprehensible piece of shit human being that is, you know, probably who Adam Sandler really is. This is probably like a biography. Basically, he was... God, I hate even talking about it. I'll read the movie info off of Rotten Tomatoes, which is sitting at 12% tomato meter or 61% audience.
Wow.
So it's fresh as far as the audience is concerned. All right. Come celebrate the joy and togetherness of the holiday season with Adam Sandler. Yeah, that Adam Sandler. In this raucous animated comedy written and produced in collaboration with the noted funny man, Davey Stone, voice of Adam Sandler, is a 20-something man with a short temper and reputation for causing trouble who lives in the small New England town of Dukesbury.
Davey, it's a real stretch for Sandler, huh?
Yeah, how about that? Davey's got a particularly bad attitude about the holiday season, and on this first night of Hanukkah, he goes down to Terry, lands him in front of a judge, voicing Norm Crosby, blah, 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 bunch of bullshit. How do I hate thee? Let me count the ways. Adam Sandler plays three characters in the movie. He plays this Davey, whatever, Rock Stone, and he also plays this guy that looks like the main character out of Up, but he's an albino, so of course that's funny, who lives with his twin sister, who is bald, so of course that's funny. And the whole entire movie is predicated on the idea that you're going to fall in love with these characters. But imagine, okay, and we all hate Adam Sandler here. Great, right? Okay, good.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine the worst Adam Sandler offhanded, even no thought for Adam Sandler joke that he does. You know, just some dumbass little voice, you know, like, oh, thank you, like something like that. And then imagine that turning that into the main character in a fucking movie. And the success of that movie is based off the fact that you fall in love with and relate to this. How do I put this caricature of a character? I don't know why I'm giving an Adam Sandler movie this much thought, but it was bad. And I'm not an Adam Sandler apologist, but no, by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, like, Happy Gilmore is pretty funny when Bob Barker beats him up. And there's some funny moments in some of his movies. And I liked him on Saturday Night Live, kinda. But this is just reprehensible, and I fucking hated it. This is my number two. I take it neither of you guys have seen it.
Nope.
Well, I was just left with a scary thought that, you know, I was just wondering, you know, I'm guessing none of us have seen it since we don't really seem to be fans, but just from what I've heard, I'm just trembling at the notion that Jack and Jill is supposed to be worse than any of his films we've yet brought up.
And Al Pacino's in that.
Al Pacino was in it. Why?
He's got a scene where he's rapping.
Well, doesn't that just say it all? Doesn't that just say it all?
It does. It does. It does. He's not good. Know. He's not good.
See, I really nothing Adam Sandler. I sort of think he's an obnoxious jackass. So I don't really.
Once again, if I were a producer, I'd make the shit out of an Adam Sandler movie because they make money. But this one didn't.
That's too bad.
But it's so bad. It's fucking horrible. So
I don't know, have you seen the classic film The Stuntman, where the director is like gets a guy in a movie just so he can attempt to kill him?
That's a good idea.
Do that.
There you go. Hey. We should do that.
We'll start a Kickstarter tomorrow.
Done. All right, Ethan. Are we down to our number ones?
We are down to our number ones.
All right, what's the worst movie ever?
The worst movie for me right now, I suppose, is the 1997 Alien Resurrection.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That sucks.
And I guess it's because I've been on an Alien kick lately. I devoured that DVD and all that, the Blu-ray set.
It sucks so much.
And, you know, and we sort of discussed, I don't know if we discussed it on the show last week.
I don't remember.
But
we definitely talked about it on Facebook.
Yes, that I don't really. Yeah, that I don't understand why Alien 3 gets as big of a bad rap as it does when Alien 4 is so much worse. I had to sit. I like to tell people this because, you know, it's woe is me. My life sucks. I had to sit through this movie twice in theaters.
Oof.
Because I was working at the movie theater at the time when it came out. And I screened it. I saw the screener of it. I was like, wow, this is fucking awful. This is bad. This is fuck. And then I had promised a friend I would take him to see it because I got to see movies for free because I worked at the movie theater. And he's like, I still want to see it. I'm like, oh, shit.
Should have wore sunglasses.
Okay. So, no, I ended up counting the ceiling tiles.
How many were there?
I've forgotten now, but they were the big ceiling tiles. So I think there were about 58 or 59 of them.
Okay.
Or now 60 of them, maybe. I don't remember off the top of my head. There was water damage up there, too. You know, I'm a fan of the Alien movies for the most part. I mean, the first Alien movie is great horror films, directed by Ridley Scott. You know, 3-time Academy Award nominee. The second movie is Aliens, directed by James Cameron. It's a great, you know, action, you know, Starship Troopers, you know, military in space type of. That's what was one of the inspirations for it.
Okay. The book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Before the movie did.
Okay. Yeah.
And you know, then James Cameron, who's won an Academy Award for directing and nominated 3 times. You know, I mean, he's a good director. Then, you know, third movie, not a good movie in theaters. No. I still think the pre-cut is. It's one of those that amazes me that the movie actually makes as much sense as it does once you learn how it was made.
Mm-hmm.
But directed by David Fincher.
Poorly!
directed by David Fincher. You know, 3-time Academy Award nominee since. I mean, fuck. And then you get this...
How old was he when he made that? 30?
Yeah, he was young.
He had to have been a kid because he was young. He was 22 when he did Return of the Jedi, so... Actually, he would have been mid-30s, yeah.
Yeah, he's young guy.
Yeah.
And then you come to this third movie, which is directed by Jean-Pierre Jeunet, who's been nominated, who won an Oscar after this for writing Amelie.
Amelie's a good fucking flick.
I'm a firm believer to say very few good things have ever come out of France. this movie is sort of evidence of that to me.
Hey, what about Christopher Lambert?
You're not helping the case of France here, dude. Although, you know, we've gone through this and we haven't mentioned Mortal Kombat Annihilation, a movie so bad Christopher Lambert wouldn't be in it.
It's my number 7.
So. You know, I got to see him single-handedly turn one of America's largest geek conventions against him simply because he insisted that everybody at Dragon Con refer to him as Christopher Lambert.
Nice.
He should just shut up. Yeah.
And you see, and I learned he was in the new Ghost Rider movie. It was like, oh, that means it's going to be awful. All right. But Alien Resurrection, 1997.
Ooh, I got it. What's her name? The chick that's playing Talia al Ghul. She's from France. She's good.
Uh-huh.
What's her name? Go ahead.
The
Oscar winner.
Marion Cotillard.
There you go, her.
Marion Cotillard. That's fine. Some good things have come out of France.
Very one few. Good thing that we can think
yeah,
of.
Yeah, one good thing.
French fries. Oh, wait.
No, Freedom Prize.
There you go.
Alien Resurrection, 1997.
Liberty, the Marquis de Lafayette.
Napoleon!
Oh, wait.
But, you know, this movie comes out, and you know, sort of boggles your mind. You look through who's involved. You know, the script is written by Joss Whedon. So I'm like, he at least is non-apologetic. He's you get to tell, because, you know, like I said in that... He's not in the reaction to the film bit, because I know if they asked him... He probably said, oh, it was awful.
He's like, oh.
Because he's honest about shit like that.
That's why I love him so much.
Yeah, and I could tell that's why they didn't put it in.
That, I almost want the Avengers to suck so I can hear his reaction to it.
But, you know, they put... Granted, this gave gave Ron Perlman work, which is always good.
He doesn't need
armor. But, you know, how talking about beating a dead horse, you know, with the Highlander series, you have the Alien series, talk about beating the crap out of this thing. They resurrect Ripley again, and you know, this time it's all wiggy, and we're going to have an alien-human hybrid, and it'll be awesome, and I'm like, what the fuck?
That doesn't
fuck?
Sound awesome. How many aliens were there in that one?
It was a whole ship. It was a whole big ship full of them.
I thought there was like 3 or 4.
No, it was a whole big ship full of them.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Not bad, maybe.
Is that the one where they
there's
got...
the swimming.
Is that the one where it got the...
They make it to Earth at the end. And suck the alien out of a small hole.
Okay, there's a third one where they got the shit dumped on it, then they turned the water on.
Yeah,
and
that's
exploded.
The third movie. Yes.
And then the fourth one is where it got sucked out the little hole.
Yes.
Okay.
But
it's been a long time since I've seen either of those.
No, and I tried to watch this again. I'm because the the director's cut came out. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do it. Still bad. I mean, as I said, the first movie is you know, 10 pounds of suck in an 8-pound bag. The director's cut is a 12 pounds of suck in a 10-pound bag. You know,
wow.
It's still shit. And this movie, you know, you got Winona Ryder in there just hamming it up, just being there is a funny bit in the making of where she talks about stealing stuff from the set.
I thought that was entirely appropriate.
And this was made before that whole business went down. I'm like, imagine that. There you go. But this is one of those fucking movies that's like, how can you just completely just take? You want to go up to the studio and ask them. It's like, guys, I know you make some money off of these. I mean, they're small amounts of money comparatively speaking. But then you take a idea from I think one of the classic movies of our time, Alien, and then Aliens is a great movie, and then you know Alien 3, and then you have Alien Resurrection. You go, you guys just took this and took a big fat dump on it. And, I mean, just by comparison from this movie to the next Alien movie, which was Alien vs. Predator, it had to be a step up, you know? And Alien vs. Predator was a step up.
I haven't seen either of those.
It still wasn't good, but it wasn't as bad as Alien Resurrection. Alien Resurrection just comes off as a director who feels that he can do... That he's this artiste
He's better than Scott and...
That he's like, well, I'm better than Ridley Scott because I'm French. And... he's English, obviously. I'm better.
Yeah.
So he comes off doing this movie that is just utterly fucking awful. It's got these. I mean, the reason that he did it is because he did that movie City of Lost Children, which I didn't like either.
I like that movie. Okay.
He comes off and does this movie, and it's one of those things like you're giving this franchise. You're taking this franchise in the late '90s, and you managed to pull a dump truck of money up to Sigourney Weaver to have her do it. And she, even though she keeps saying, well, I don't want to do any more, I don't want to do any more, they just add another zero to her paycheck, and she says, okay.
See, I heard that she got a script, and she read the script, and then, you know, and the script was not Aliens. And, like, the last page of the script was a treatment that says, okay, every time it says Cal, replace it with the Xenomorph. Every time it says Sue, replace it with Ripley. Fuck you, you just read Alien 4. And she's all like, okay, I'll do it. See, that's the story I always heard.
That would be at least entertaining.
Yeah.
No, this movie just fails on so many fucking levels. It takes this fun franchise, this franchise that could be interesting, and finally, Ridley Scott is back in it doing the Prometheus and sort of taking it in a new direction.
Wow, this has like, a 55%.
Yeah, and it boggles my mind why people hate that. What does Alien 3 have? I'm curious. Because this one just... is so awful.
Is it Alien or Aliens
3? Alien 3. It is so absolutely bad. All the acting is bad.
39%.
See, there you go. All the dialogue is bad. The whole thing is just awful. The only good things I can say about it, you know, is the underwater sequence was shot well. It's got good scene transitions.
Sometimes I like Michael Lincott. This time, you know.
I'm finding it hard to express how absolutely painfully bad this movie is. And is if you're a fan of the Alien series, if you're a fan of Alien Aliens, this movie insults you how bad it is. Because it's the same goddamn story over again. And the twist in it, you know, is just stupid.
Well, with there being a robot?
The several twists. With Winona Ryder being an android.
Which I knew.
Which was like, who gives a shit? And with Ripley being a clone who has alien DNA in her, who gives a shit, and the alien at the end who is an alien human hybrid that
who gives
looks
shit.
Like just awful.
Stupid, yeah.
That they had to digitally remove a penis from too.
Awesome.
Because there's this appendage on it in its groin area that looked an awful lot like a penis that they didn't catch when they were filming, and so they had to pay someone for digital penis removal, which is always entertaining.
I'd love to have that on my resume.
Yes. What did you do for this digital penis removal? Yes. Don't ask.
At least you didn't act in it. You're hired.
Okay. My response to it would be, well, did you see a penis in the movie? No. There you go. Good point. I was distracted by all the other
badness. I saw
badness.
A bunch of cocking up in it.
Whoa. So, yeah, there you have it. I'm not going to keep going on about it, but Alien Resurrection 1997, such an absolutely fuck-all bad movie. And any of those people that gave this thing enough of a rating to get it to 55%, it's 50% by the audience.
At least Alien 3 has a 55% audience rating.
Yeah, Alien Resurrection, 50% audience rating. User ratings are 237,000. So about 115,000 people out there actually like this movie. I think those people need to be fired into the sun and removed from the gene pool. So there it is, Alien Resurrection. If someone says, hey, let's have an alien marathon, you go, okay, let's watch 1, 2, sleep through 3, and burn number 4. So there you go. That's my number 1.
Okay, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
It really sucks. I really don't like it. I remember Shay on one of our old shows was trying to defend this.
No.
And we shut him
down. There is no defending it. There's just like, no.
I remember he really liked the scene where the grenade was bouncing. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
If that's all you've got, you might as well say it's got good scene transitions.
It's one of those where someone, you know, like Shay, someone who says, oh, I actually liked it, I just go, really? Let me educate you as to why this movie is awful. Sit down and listen. Because you obviously were staring at the wall while you were watching this
movie. I liked the wall.
Yeah, it's like, wow, that's a good paint job.
Yeah. Man, I got a Christopher Lee figure and Sonic screwdriver.
And very few times do I want to walk out of a movie, get my money back. This was definitely one of those times. And it's one of those that I saw for free that I want my time back. And, oh, God, you know, just... I'd rather, while seeing it the second time, I decided to count ceiling tiles rather than pay attention to this. This is how bad it was. So there you have it, my number one. You know,
and it sucks.
It's bad.
You've seen it, right, Christopher?
You know, I have, but in all honesty, now that they're making Aliens versus Predator sequels, it's really...
There's only one, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was only one sequel. There was number one, number two. But now they're doing Prometheus, which I'm pretty jazzed about, actually.
Well, it's Ridley Scott. I don't care what it is. I'll watch it, at least. So, okay. So, Christopher, what movie do you hate above all others?
Ah, yes. An easy one for me. And, admittedly, my hatred of it cannot rise to the eloquence of Penn Jillette. And no, ladies and gentlemen, we do not plan these out ahead of time. I'm quoting Penn Jillette, completely independent of Aaron's admiration of him. But Penn Jillette once memorably said, there are two things that you can count on life.
I know where
count
this is coming.
Life. Number one, there will be tragedies. And number two, Michael Moore will be there to exploit them.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, means my far and away number one most hated film of all time would be Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it is pretty awful.
It's horrible.
My own best diss
and it won,
for that
and
is
it won my own, best picture at the Cannes. Go ahead, sorry.
My own best diss of this movie is that here's a guy who wanted to make a movie to make the W. Bush administration look bad, and he had to make stuff up. How pathetic is that? And again, it's just another vital issue that somebody comes along and utterly poisons the dialogue well on. And honestly, it aided to creating a politics in this country where it doesn't really matter whether somebody is being truthful or honest, as long as they're reaching the right conclusions. Because if you wanted to argue with me that the Iraq War was a terrible mistake, I'd probably agree with you. If you tried to argue with me that there was some shady goings on to create this war, I would listen to you. But, you know, by the time that war is showing what a paradise pre-invasion Iraq was and how great life was with Saddam Hussein running the country, I just want to punch him in his fat face until I'm covered in his blood. And I can't think of anything. Well, again, without getting into Nazi propaganda films, I can't think of anything more loathsome than a film that on any level is apologizing for Saddam Hussein's regime. You want to say the war was immoral, illegal, and wrong? Like I said, I'm probably inclined to agree with you. You say anything in favor of Saddam Hussein, and I want to punch your fat face, too. And I'm probably going to raise my blood pressure up to a dangerous level if I talk more about this. But basically, Michael Moore, die and burn in hell.
No, he will.
That'd be one hell of a grease fire, though.
Yeah. It's despicable and deplorable. Have you ever seen Fahrenheit 9/11?
I thought that was the one I was mentioning.
No, Fahrenheit.
H-Y-P-E.
H-Y-P-E.
Oh, oh,
The reaction to it.
It's the reaction to it.
And
I've never actually seen it, because to me...
It's interesting to do, because what I did is I watched Fahrenheit 9/11 and then Fahrenheit 9/11 right after it, and it's kind of an interesting... It's interesting to watch them both back-to-back.
Yeah. And it does not nearly have a Michael Moore budget. It does not nearly... And say what you will about Michael Moore, he can make a documentary. He lies in it, but, you know, he puts together an entertaining documentary, at the very least, okay? And the guy that made Fahrenheit 9/11 did not do that. But it's amazing to me that this really poorly put together $3.86 budget is so much more truthful than Fahrenheit 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated George Bush when he stole or whatever won the first election. I was embarrassed because he was going to be representing America. He was this fucking idiot. When he won the second election, I was scared because of all the warmongering and stuff going on. That does not mean I support Fahrenheit 9/11 because. Mm-hmm. It's deplorable. They do completely make shit up. I mean, for the love of God, Oliver Stone made a movie about George W. Bush that made up all kinds of shit that was way more true than this fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
And did you look it up? Because this probably has a high rating on... everybody fucking loves that movie. Oh. I'm not going to look it up because I got my number one looked up. I'm sure it's high up there. I don't like Michael Moore. It's funny, sometimes I agree with his politics.
84%.
See, I knew it was going to be really high. That's ridiculous. But Bowling for Columbine, at least he got the bullets taken out of Kmart. I mean, so okay. Other than that, he's a fucking hypocrite. He's a liar. He's just a bad person. And he will burn in hell with that nice grease fire Christopher so wonderfully put in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's deplorable. Yeah, I completely agree with you. It's terrible, terrible movie.
I mean, when you're making apologies for Saddam Hussein, you're on the level of that one. Okay, here we go. I promised to make Nazi propaganda films, but the one they were making where they showed the happy Jews building their resettlement in Russia, and then after they were done shooting them, they hauled them off and gassed every single one of them.
Yep.
You're covering up crimes against humanity, and I don't care. I don't care if you are reaching the right conclusion. That's just such a horrible way to get there. That's inexcusable.
Absolutely. Well, you can tell that we have really, really, really different. Where am I coming from? We have really different priorities because you know you're obviously you're a political guy and you bring this up, but me. I got my Star Wars, so I picked the 2007 Fanboys as my number one.
That was so bad.
I hated everything about this fucking movie. We're going to go ahead and take
the... Oh, man, it took forever to come out,
Yeah, that too. It was filmed in, like, 2004. It came out in 2007. It went... and we're going to throw out the window, okay? We're going to throw out the window that the script is fucking stupid. That the acting is wooden and horrible. That the cameos were horrible. And they had fucking Seth Rogen cameo four times because I guess they wanted to get the most bang for their buck out of that cameo money. You had... You know,
four times. Does it still count as a cameo?
What? I don't know.
Four times.
Well, he played four different people. I don't know. He played a small role. But you had like Anthony Daniels and Peter Mayhew and you know some of those Star Wars convention people. We're gonna throw all that bullshit out the window, okay? Because this is a movie about a bunch of Star Wars people that had this bright idea in their brain that they're gonna go steal a work print of Episode One so their friend with cancer can see it. That's emotionally manipulative because you know why the fuck do you need to have a friend that's dying of goddamn cancer to go steal the movie? My biggest problem with this movie is it is. So mean-spirited.
Yeah.
It is so fucking mean-spirited.
Towards everything.
Everything. Everybody... I'm not going to say what you will about Star Wars, because everybody already feels fucking free to do so. But these fanboys are not fucking fanboys. They go out of their goddamn way to cause trouble at a Star Trek convention or some shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
With the William Shatner...
Yeah. cameo.
Statue. And he actually had a cameo there
yeah,
as well.
With where they go to the home, the birthplace of Kirk, yeah.
And the whole fucking movie, is there's just... I mean, help me out here with this. I actually bought this fucking movie on DVD. Because, you know, hey, I like Star Wars.
Well, we've been hearing about it forever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they were working on it for freaking years.
Yeah, and it went through a phase where the kid didn't have cancer, and then one where he did. And then they had these weird-ass cameos. Like Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes were in it.
Mm-hmm.
And the big guy from the Ethan Suplee played... That fat Knowles. Piece of shit. Yeah, Harry Knowles. I fucking hate Harry Knowles, by the way.
Yeah.
He played him in the movie. You had...
I'm fist bumping you. I don't know if you can feel that, but I'm fist bumping.
Why? Because you hate him too? He's a piece of shit.
He's a douche.
He's such an asshole. But,
I can't stand the dude either. He's ass. Whenever you say Harry Knowles, I think Ain't It Cool News. And whenever I think Ain't It Cool News, I remember what you said about it when we were working at the video store, that if Ain't It Cool News put up a report saying the sky was blue, you would go outside and look up.
Yep. Yeah, that's
and I'm like, so whenever someone, that's why I don't get anything off of there.
No.
Because I'm like, fuck, Ain't It Cool News. Oh my God.
No. Yeah.
And it pains me that guy gets any kind of
recognition. Oh, he gets all kinds of recognition. I mean, he's, and what it comes to, and everything in this movie is fucking stupid, asinine, juvenile. You have your stupid fart jokes, your shit jokes, your sex jokes, your all these stupid fucking jokes. And then the thing that just made me, like, say, this movie, from, you know, this is a stupid fucking movie to where this is a deplorable piece of fucking shit and I can't believe anybody wasted any time on it, was the last line of the movie. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's, what if this movie sucks?
What if this movie sucks? Which just pretty much goes to show you that this movie was not made by Star Wars fans.
Yeah.
This movie was made to be a jab at Star Wars.
Well, is it made to be a jab at all pop culture,
exactly.
Sci-fi pop culture? Because it makes fun of the Star Trek people, it makes fun of the Star Wars people. It's just like, this is just rather insulting.
It was insulting.
Like this stuff. Yeah.
It was like, you know, like the Alien movie with Seth Rogen. Paul. It's not a great fucking movie, but at least it wasn't mean-spirited like this. It's the same basic idea. But, you know, basically this says that, you know, I'm wasting my fucking life because I like movies.
Well, it's like, one thing I can say about, you know, gamers and a lot of sci-fi fans is that we like to make fun of ourselves.
We can do that.
But at least when it's mean-spirited, it's just fucking rude, you know? It's like, come on.
We make fun of ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's just what it comes down to. Is this? It's laughing at us,
not with us.
Yeah, exactly. Does, yeah. And we don't need that because we do enough of ourselves. And when it comes down to it, I love Star Wars. You know, I've got a fucking a Star Wars poster on my wall. I probably have lightsabers around here. I got all kinds of toys and shit. Chewbacca over there. And I have actually seen a girl naked. I've had sex before. So I am not represented by these people in this fucking movie.
No, yeah.
It's just...
Well, I was talking Dungeons and Dragons not too long ago. Yeah. And this is what, you know, people look at, say, in it to Trekkies and all that. It's like, so you like Star Trek, so you like Star Wars hosts, you're like those guys and fanboys, and like, no, because that's fiction and stupid for crying out loud.
And those aren't fanboys.
Yeah, and it drives me up the wall when any kind of media comes in and shows a caricature.
They're talking about something they don't know anything about.
Exactly. They show a caricature is what they do, and they say, well, this is going to get people into theaters, and this is going to get some reaction, so we're going to show this. It's like,
I don't want it to happen, but if they made a sequel to this movie, you know, Fanboys Episode 2,
it was always condescending.
Attack of the Clowns or whatever. Yeah, whatever you
can
call
it. Can I ask you guys a question? Can I ask you guys a question real quick?
Sure.
Okay, you were talking about how you hate outsider media coming in and doing geek things. Now, I was always in the impression this was being made by a bunch of amateurs who were genuine Star Wars fans. Now, assuming that I'm not misremembering, does it become all the more loathsome because it's made by people who ought to know better?
Yes. Absolutely. It was made on a very low budget, and it was made by some people that... It has
some funny parts in it, but
not really. I can't. What's something funny about it?
The only funny bit I remember was after the Ray Park bit. I think Ray Park's an ass, but
he's a jerk off. Yeah,
we're all wearing the THX uniforms.
Yeah.
You know, and one guy says, well, we have to wear these. Like, no, we don't. He makes us. that was amusing, but. That's the only thing I remember.
Once again, a chuckle doesn't make up for it.
Oh, no.
But, you know, it does have participation from people from the movies. Like, it does have Ray Park. Billy Dee Williams is in it. Mm-hmm. I want to say Is Carrie Fisher in it? I don't know. It definitely has those two people in it, but... And it's just, it's mean-spirited, it's false, and it isn't true. And in Fanboys Episode 2, The Attack of the Clowns, these guys are going to be the people online on AintItCoolNews.com that are talking shit on the movie. So, I hate everything about this fucking movie. I hate the movie, I hate the characters, I hate the people that made it. I hate what it represents, I hate what it says about them, I hate what it says about culture, and I mostly hate what it says about me. So, I fucking hate this movie. I hate this fucking movie, and I hate anybody that had anything to fucking do with it.
Yeah, and you know, like, the people...
And by the way, this is... When did the Phantom Menace came out in 99? So, that's 13 years ago? 12? 13 years... This has been building up in me for 13 mm-hmm. years, okay? Because I was hoping that Fanboys was going to come out, and there was going to be a movie about me. You know, about the guy that actually defends these movies. But no, they're just talking shit on it, and they're just using something that's beloved to me, you know, whether it should be or not, it's not neither here nor there, beloved to me to basically be a vehicle for dick and fart jokes, and at the end of it, to shit on what I love. Mm-hmm. Fuck that movie. Fuck this movie.
And, like, the cameos in it's Seth Rogen, Danny Trejo...
Yeah, I remember that.
Ethan Suplee, Billy Dee Williams, William Shatner, Ray Park, Carrie Fisher is in it. She's a doctor.
So. Yep.
Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes. That's about it. And of course, it also stars Kristen Bell and Jay Baruchel, who have both sort of moved on to bigger and better things.
But, and it also had the fat guy from
Kristen Bell, not so much, but
the fat guy from the ping pong movie. And it also had Sam Huntington in it.
Yeah, Sam Huntington.
Wasn't he Jimmy Olsen? And he was in Dylan Dog?
Yes.
Yeah, he was in it too.
Yeah. I never guessed that you had an encyclopedic knowledge of everyone that's ever played Jimmy Olsen.
Apparently so.
Why have I done that now?
You've done that twice tonight. I'm impressed.
Yes. Well, I guess.
Can we give a little shout out for Jack Larson while we're at it?
Fuck yeah, Jack Larson is the best Jimmy Olsen ever.
This movie's bad.
Fuck this movie. Ethan, why don't we do a little rundown and put a pin in this? I'm getting angry, so...
Jack Larson hates this movie.
I guarantee you Jack Larson hates this fuck. You know what? They should have had fucking Will Wheaton in here shitting on Star Wars also. Just to make it that much worse. I hated this movie.
Okay, my number 10 was Conan the Destroyer.
Yeah, that's a bad movie.
Number 9 is Skyline.
Didn't see. Oh, that was that one that the Baggy Board Boys hated.
I'm going to spoil it for everyone. The twist is they're brain sucking aliens.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, I'm not joking. Number 8 is The Forgotten, Julianne Moore, with the big giant turtle in space that sucks people up through vacuum.
That sounds awesome, but I guess it isn't.
Fucking awful. Number 7, Alone in the Dark. I had to put a UA Bowl movie on here somewhere.
Still haven't
and,
seen one.
I'm amazed to look. It has a 1% rating.
Somebody liked it, huh?
Yes, somebody did. Awful movie. Number 6, Alexander. Number 5, Knowing. Number 4, Troy. Number 3, Max Payne. Number 2, Dungeons and Dragons. And number 1, Alien Resurrection.
Christopher, what's your list looking like?
Well, like I said, toward the bottom, I had to put in at least a few drill to the face movies. So, of course, that meant the number 10 had to be Moulin Rouge.
Ooh.
A film that made me wonder if I was on the same planet as the people that claim to enjoy that. How do you get a bigger drill to the face than Moulin Rouge? Have Julia Roberts holding it. So number 9 was Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah.
Number 8 was the complete... Okay, all right. Until Crash came along, the absolute worst Best Picture winner of all time, American Beauty. If the film has anything going for it, it's nihilism. Lord knows we need more of that. Number 7 was Nixon, because I didn't feel like I'd bloodied Oliver Stone enough. And then 6, I kicked that bastard again with JFK. Then at 5, I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. 4 is Crash. 3 is Transformers. Pick them all. Number 2 is Religious, and then number 1 is Fahrenheit 9/11.
Alrighty.
Very good. My top 10 is I had to get a dig at the kid in here. I picked Dougal, this stupid ass little fucking. I fuck that movie. I hate that movie. Man, I hate it whenever she watched it. I actually broke her DVD because I didn't want her watching it anymore, and she told her that the dog ate it. So,
ooh.
I really hate that movie.
I've never heard of it.
It's bad. It's so bad. Then, let's see, my number nine is Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo. I did notice this little thing in some of my list where a lot of these are sequels of movies that surprised me that I didn't hate. You know, I'm not saying that, like, oh, you know, I really like Die Hard, but fuck Die Hard 2. It wasn't anything like that. It was like, you know, I expected to get hit by a truck when I saw the first Deuce Bigelow, and it was more like getting hit in the face with, like, a rock. So it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be, and so the second one I gave it a chance, and it was fucking awful. And then my number eight is Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Once again, the exact same thing.
It's a movie so bad Christopher Lambert wouldn't do it.
Yep. You know?
That says it all, really.
It was. It was. It was so bad. Number seven, once again, Harold and Kumar Go to Guantanamo Bay. Once again, the first one, it was kind of funny-ish. I like the third one, even. I like Neil Patrick Harris, but this movie's god-frickin'-awful. And then we get into the list that I just screamed about for 4 hours. Your Highness, number six. Number five, Spanglish. Number four, Mad City. Number three, Highlander, The Source. Number two, Eight Crazy Nights. And the movie I hate above all fucking other movies is Fanboys. That loathsome piece of shit. Whew. So how you guys doing? So I get a little angry.
I feel a little cleansed. I'm good.
Yeah. This is like the Diary of Rage days where I just got.
This was a cinematic enema, folks.
This was a cinematic enema. So every movie on this list, don't watch it. Don't watch it. I mean, there's some of them that I didn't find that particularly offensive, but there's not one. There's one on here that I would defend, but I'm not going to go there because we're all entitled to our opinion, and that's definitely our opinion. So stay tuned. We're going to be right back with our outro section. And we are back with the outro section. Those are the movies that we hate.
Oh yeah, awful.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still kind of angry just talking about these movies that I've wasted time of my life on.
Mm-hmm.
They're so bad. They're so bad.
Movies that we want our time.
These are movies that really suck. And it was fun. I don't ever want to do this again because this is probably
we'll come up with something else different for April Fool's next year.
Yeah, but I can't do this again. I got way too worked up and angry about this one. But once again, thank you very much for being on, Christopher. You're always a blast to have on.
Always.
As soon as we started talking about we're going to do movies that suck, I think the first thing I said to Ethan is we have to get McGee on here because he's going to be funny talking about stuff he doesn't like.
I hope I did not disappoint.
No, you did not. This should be good. But I think that's going to bring us to an end. So does anybody have anything to add?
Nope. I don't.
I don't either. So, until next week, I'm Aaron.
I'm Ethan.
Let your sucky movie flag fly. I got nothing.
And I hate everything about you. Everything about you. When I'm around, I can't stand to be around. I hate everything about you. Everything about you. Everything about you. Everything about you. Some say I got a bad attitude, but that don't change the way I feel about you. And if you think this might be bringing me down, look again, cause I ain't wearing no brown detail.
come the way to the go. Think it's sad, but that's too bad, cause I'm having a ball. I've never been a thing about you. Everything about you, everything about I, can't see when I'm around. I can't stand to be around. I
had everything about you.